Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour, and we begin another broadcast night here at the Horn. It is Thursday, the 15th day of December 2016. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That is where you go if you should be possessed of the notion that you would like to participate in the real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours that this program is live. Each and every day. If you will jump into said chat room, you may do so by going to headonradionetwork.com, picking yourself out a screen name and a password, and leaping thereunto. Okay? Yeah. It's free, it's easy, and you will there be greeted by Anatole, Jug of Punch, Steve from Georgistan, VT Blom, and of course, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who on what at least here in Appalachistan is a brutally cold day, has seen fit not to fold space in Northern California to become Man Cave. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and it is Thorn in the Side Thursday. Never mind what that spells. I mean, that was not intentional, so don't say it. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn, and we have thorns. If it were Wednesday, we might say that we have, in fact, a crown of thorns. But no, we'll just leave it at that. I'm looking at the stream as it's going out. It looks like it is stable and unbuffered, which is a wonderful thing for it to be, and that's very reassuring. Like I said, yeah, it's been nasty cold, but you know, here in the fabulous Horn Studio, it's a balmy 60 degrees. It's pleasant broadcasting weather here in the studio. The rest of the house, not so much. But we'll be okay for the next 3 hours or so. Thank you very kindly, Steve from Georgistan, letting me know it sounds good on TuneIn. I was a little worried because I got a note from Randy right before airtime saying it may be early for me to say this, but the Horn stream is buffering badly. That was right as I was taking the rerun stream down and starting the blah, right, but you get the idea. So I'm gonna pretend that we're gonna be okay. Yes, Gerald. In fact, you are correct. It's a bit airish tonight, ain't it? Yes, it is. Right, airish. Very airish. Which is not to be compared with dairy airish. No, it's, and oh, let's see, just so we can all enjoy it together. Yeah, it's a roasty toasty 15 degrees outside right now. This seems a bit premature, even for around here. But, you know, look, climate change, you can get anything at any time. It's like having, well, no. It's like being able to have strawberries in January. You know, that's what we can just put them on a boat and or a plane and send them from Chile and help heat up the climate some more, and then people can have strawberries in January. Yeah, it's 15 right now outside. We're on our way down to 9 tonight, which will be like not having walls. And I'll try not to scream. Ah, thank you. Earther says, stream working for me, fine for me, Brother Bob. Good, 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 good. That's inspiring. Loud and clear from New York, says Steve. If I end up staying in Ottawa after I visit for Christmas, will the Horn family hold it against me? I presume you're visiting someone you care about, Steve, so why don't you, I think any holding against would probably be best in his province, not ours. So, no, in fact, you could probably look up Brother Ron, and he could teach you all the ins and outs of living in the far and frozen north. Yeah. Which ain't much different. Well, the snow's really the only difference. No snow. It is, as they say in these here parts, too cold to snow. A term of which I've always been skeptical. Oh, twas a foggy morning out in Northern California, according to a photo that Sparky sent along. And you know what I found out? Just because curious, because internet, and once in a while I try to use the internet for good purposes. The average, unless the interweb tubes were lying to me, the average winter temperature in Scotland, the old sod, is about freezing. I mean, that's the low, not the average. That's the low. It gets down to freezing in Scotland, thanks to the Gulf Stream, which will probably, in short order, be going away. But yeah, because of the Gulf Stream, Scotland's, the more populous areas of Scotland, yeah, about freezing. That's about as nasty as it gets. Might get a little bit worse, but not a lot, and not for very long. Freezing, you know, 0 Celsius, 32 Fahrenheit. How about that? Because, like I said, I do things like look up nerdy facts when I watch 1983 films like Local Hero. I love that movie. If you've never seen it, you really should. It's just a delight. It is -1 degree Fahrenheit in Ottawa right now, going down to -10 overnight before the wind chill. Estimated to be 35 below overnight, according to Ron in the far frozen north. I've already warned Steve. And then we get another dump of the evil white crap on Saturday. I'm looking forward to California next week. Run away. Run away, you cold weather sissy, you. Oh, well played early in the program, Ron. Well played, Ron and Raleigh. Bob. Cold, you say? It's colder than a repiglicken's heart. Ooh, score. Colder than melanoma's bed. Once Forrest Trump goes to Washington. Yeah, gotta give kudos for a new name for the incoming president. That was just too damn good not to. Dennis wrote in earlier today and said, another moniker for our new dear leader, Forrest Trump. I inquired, yours? He wrote back, yes, just thought of it. Seems like an apt comparison. Really, really appreciate what you do. We will need your voice of reason and sanity even more in this brave old world. I'll keep trying to send in my modest monthly contribution to the cause. Happy holidays to you, Agnes and Ferg. Hope I got those names right. You certainly did. And Margie. Thanks, Dennis. Thanks ever so much. Very much indeed. And that, of course, occasions a bit of a reminder. This is a listener-supported radio program. We don't have any ads here. You know, I'd probably run ads for things like electric blankets and electric mattress pads and whatnot, but no. We got no ads here. We got no advertisers. Now we're going to have a debate over Ron's colder than a pig licking's heart. Steve in New York says, I didn't know they had hearts. Well, the empty space where a heart might be, can we come to consensus on that so we won't have to fight all night long over it? Just kidding, just playing. But this is a listener-supported radio program. We try to raise $200 every evening. We try to raise $66.66 every hour of every broadcast. I kind of like that breakdown. $66.66 every hour. We didn't do that last night. Prayer meeting Wednesday, no less, and we can't do $66.66 an hour. So, thanks to our subscribers. Yes, indeed. Thanks to our subscribers. We do not have we've only got $300 to raise. Because some of the overage was caught up by Harold, among others. And Bob in California. Robert in California. And Tim helped out as well, as did Darlene in Connecticut, and another kind listener in Fort Myers, Florida. So we've only got about $300 to raise this evening, which has just been knocked down to $285, courtesy of Steve from Georgistan and Miss Karen and Cletus. Cletus is a good puppy. She's a very good girl. Yes. In order not to create a mini riot in the chat room and elsewhere on email, whatnot, Steve in New York has said, I concede the point. See how agreeable and civilized we libtards are? Ron says, you didn't raise $66.66 per hour doing a show about religion? Are you the only guy in the U.S. that can't find a way to make religion pay? Well, it's kind of like when George W. Bush tried to drill for oil in Texas and couldn't find oil. Although I hate that. The idea of comparing myself to George W. Bush fills me with a level of nausea and loathing that is that the English language is scarcely capable of encompassing. But that's about the size of it. So we got $285 to go. Speaking of names for Benito Cheeto, Jen in Australia says, my favorite moniker has become hair plugs. Hair plugs. Putrid, lying, unscrupulous, grotesque, sexual predator. That's what plugs spells. Putrid, lying, unscrupulous, grotesque, sexual predator. Plugs. Hair plugs. You have to put hair in front of it just to give it that sort of 1933 flavor. Heather wants me to play a Kathy Mattea song sometime. Heather says, I was thinking of her. Kathy's a friend. Is there any Kathy Mattea Christmas music? Did Kathy ever do a Kathy Mattea Christmas or anything? Oh, that's so sweet. Steve from Georgistan says, Cletus always scratches at my leg when you say her name, Bob.
Scratch his leg again, Cletus. She's a good girl. Scratch his leg again. Dig deep. Dig deep, Cletus. No, I'm being mean.
Well, okay, that's a little unfair. Arthur says, now watch this drive. Oh my God, you both like golf, Brother Bob, you and Bush. Jan in Australia, you just got a thumbs up from Arnold for plugs. I like that, Arnold says. That's a good one. Putrid, lying, unscrupulous, grotesque sexual predator. Okay, could we quibble over putrid? I was thinking maybe pustulant. Do you like pustulant better than putrid, Jen? It just has a sort of je ne sais quoi, you know, the je ne sais yuck. Thank you, Jason. Thank you very kindly for, oh my God, Cyphron. Oh, Jason, you shouldn't have. We are now down to $179.45 to go for the evening. Beautiful. Just beautiful. Stockton Larry wants to know, but Bob, do you clear brush too also? I have been known to do that. And but then the separation comes because I do not suffer from a mortal fear of horses. I like horses. Ah, okay. See how amenable and agreeable we are. Jen does now, in fact, endorse pustulant, lying, unscrupulous, grotesque sexual predator. Jen says, "Ooh, yes, it oozes." We can get along. We absolutely can. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. How's about that? Thank you, Steve from Georgia Stan, serving as an ad hoc research department. Kathy Mattea has a Christmas album. Good news. Mm-hmm. I'll be darned. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Nothing I really recognize on there. Those appear to be all original. No chestnuts in that mix. Christmas songs. Steve in New York says, I would like to throw my support behind the PLUGS acronym, too. Putrescent? No, not putrescent. Pustulant. Pustulant, lying, unscrupulous, grotesque, sexual predator. Very, very nice indeed. So, this being Thorn in the Side Thursday, and what with us having $179.45 to raise, $279.45 to raise for the remainder of the evening, we should probably get this ball rolling. Because roll it by God must. And we'll probably be kind of busy. Who am I kidding? We're going to be very busy. Quick update from a previous conversation with our buddy Ron in the far frozen north. Nothing to really harp on. I just kind of went, here's a headline coming from Vanity Fair, which, by the way, at 8 o'clock this morning... PLUGS, the pustulant, lying, unscrupulous, grotesque sexual predator. 8 o'clock in the morning today, he was tweeting. Will someone please,
please take his Twitter machine away from him.
Well, by the way, there's for those of you using the iOS operating system, there's a new update out, and it includes new emojis. No, no, no. Santa did not bring plugs a crooked Hillary emoji for Christmas, but we did get a new clown emoji. Now, if anybody wants to hack that emoji and turn it orange, we might very well be on our way. Yeah. But anyway, over at Vanity Fair, which, no kidding, I really, honest to Jesus, wish I was. I guess. Well, I don't know, no, because the publication time's all wrong for that. Plugs woke up, Benito Cheeto did. All pissed off at Vanity Fair. How honest to God, I wish I was kidding. No, really. It was early in the morning, this 10 days before Christmas, when the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini picked up his device, and with his tiny little hands and his tiny little thumbs, he tweeted the following at 8:05 a.m. this morning.
Has anyone looked at the really poor numbers of at Vanity Fair magazine? Way down, big trouble, dead. Graydon Carter, no talent, will be out.
Had he had coffee, or is his morning sippy cup of Similac or whatever the it is we don't know. Charlie Pierce points out that he's been mad at Vanity Fair for something going on 30 years. But since he tweeted that at him at 8 o'clock in the morning, they responded in kind. Headline, as of 12:16 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Vanity Fair, Putin was reportedly directly involved in election hacking. Well now, for days, Trump Tower has pushed back on the CIA's conclusion that Russia interfered in the election to tip the scales in Donald Trump's favor.
These are the same people that said Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
That was last Friday. But despite Trump's best efforts to dismiss Russia's involvement, the allegations have become a national crisis. Already, members of both parties are calling for investigations that threaten to delegitimize Trump's recent electoral victory in the eyes of the public. No, they don't! Now, just stop that. I have no doubt whatsoever that Donald J. Trump, billionaire who owns a mansion and a yacht and a plane and a golf course, I have no doubt whatsoever that the man is actually an agent of the Russian Federation. I have no doubt whatsoever that he is the private little chew toy of Big Bad Vladdy Daddy. No doubt at all. He's brokered the Ten Commandments, can't afford to sell off his assets because he'd wind up having to write a check that would bounce from here to the moon to cover the deficit. But let's not sit here and kid ourselves and type things like threaten to delegitimize Trump's recent electoral victory in the eyes of the public. One, somewhat slightly more than, 26% of the public already views him as illegitimate because, you know, he couldn't win the popular vote. Okay. Half the population that was eligible to didn't vote. So you got to pretty much figure that they're overwatching, you know, Dancing with the Aliens or something. And as far as the Trumpanzees are concerned, as he himself noted, he could murder people with everybody watching, and it wouldn't cost him a single one of their votes. Anyway, in the meantime, the Obama administration and U.S. intelligence officials appear more than happy to help cast a shadow of doubt over the next 4 years by providing the media with a steady drip of information leading back to the Kremlin. Citing senior government officials, NBC News reports that U.S. intelligence agencies believe with a high level of confidence, that's in quotes, high level of confidence, that Vladimir Putin was personally involved in the cyber attacks against the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton campaign chair John Podesta in the theft and subsequent leaking of thousands of private emails. Get me emails of Musin Squirrel. Right? Did those guys, when they were doing Bullwinkle, ever have the first faint inkling that what they were doing would someday look like a harbinger of an American reality? Boris Badenov and Natasha were caricatures. The kiddies who watched Bullwinkle, it didn't mean so much. It was just funny hijinks. But the grown-ups for whom Bullwinkle was made sassy and clever, well, they looked at it within the context of the Cold War in which we were at the time engaged. But Moose and Squirrel, in a goofy Russian accent, obtained its own provenance, its own relevance, and never fully went away. Because, among other things, much like, say, the animation of Warner Brothers under the control of Fritz Frelling and Chuck Jones, produced things that transcended simple animation and rose to the level of both literature and art. Yes, literature. Duck season, rabbit season, Elma season. So that now we are living in a reality where, even though the commies are gone, the hostility is not. And so we wind up with, you know, in 2016, in the waning days, a guy behind a microphone in West Virginia saying, "Get me emails of Moose and Squirrel." What started as a vendetta against Clinton evolved into an attempt to undermine the U.S. democratic process and split off key American allies by creating the image that other countries couldn't depend on the U.S. to be a credible global leader anymore, according to one senior official who spoke with NBC News. And see, far more than exercising merely the vendetta against Hillary Clinton, because Big Bad Vladdy Daddy is every bit as vain, if not more so, than Plugs, the pustulant, lying, unscrupulous, grotesque sexual predator.
Now, Putin has, Sergeant Carter, Pooty Poot has a monumental ego because those things are rather in fashion among authoritarian fascist despots. I mean, for fuck's sake, he rides tigers and plays with bears and goes around with his shirt off, sporting his manly D cups. L. Just L. It's so bad that over at CBS with on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, they've taken to featuring cartoon Donald Trump and now cartoon Vladimir Putin, who leans over and whispers every word he wants said into cartoon Donald Trump's ear. And in this latest episode, they finished up by licking at each other's tongues, which is only funny if you think that that is at least a bare, you know, like say 0.1% probability of being a reflection of reality. The latest revelation is in concert with a statement signed by all 17 U.S. intelligence agencies in October, which attributed the high-profile hacks to America's former Cold War adversary and concluded that only Russia's senior most officials could have authorized these activities. When asked, a spokesperson for Pooty Poot by the name of Dmitry Peskov said, "It's laughable nonsense. Aha, aha, aha. It's laughable." And it kind of makes sense, the way Vanity Fair puts it together, it kind of makes sense that Pooty Poot, being a thin-skinned and vain little despot, okay, big despot, whatever. In 2011, during the Russian election, see, we get to say it too, Hillary referred to Pooty Poot as a tough guy with thin skin, because that's how she talks. And Michael McFaul, again, cited by Vanity Fair, who was the U.S. ambassador to Russia from 2012 to 2014, said that Clinton and Pooty Poot not being BFFs, quote, has been known for a long time. He went on to say that Pooty Poot wants to discredit American democracy and make us weaker in terms of leading the liberal democratic order, and most certainly he likes President-elect Trump's views on Russia. I don't know if that's necessarily an order of importance. I, for one, think Russia owns Trump's ass. Is yours?
Thank you very much.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, and I don't care much for lines like, because you know how I feel about referring to this country as a democracy. It wants to discredit American democracy. Well, you know, if Russia had just minded their own business, we've been doing a very good job at that since about 1789, 1787. Because you can call the United States many things. A democracy ain't one of them. And so, apparently, yeah, the people who get paid to know this kind of stuff are at official high level of confidence that Pooty Poot was directly involved in hacking or in ordering the hacking of the DNC and John Podesta, whatever. Yeah. But at Vanity Fair, Abigail Tracy continues by saying, it's not just Trump who's warmed to Putin, whose authoritarian style and white nationalist politics mirror his own. Over the past 2 years, Republicans have grown increasingly fond of America's former Soviet adversary and its ex-KGB president. According to a YouGov poll, Putin's net favorability among Republicans has surged from minus 66 in July 2014 to minus 10 this month, according to New York Magazine. So, as the saying goes, watch this space. And one wonders what kind of reprisals might come. Do you think? Well, see, here's the fun part. If we actually hacked the Russians and handed the stuff over to WikiLeaks, that dear friend of transparency, Julian Assange, wouldn't tell WikiLeaks to release it. You know, let's say our intelligence service finds out that Pooty Poot routinely gets on his browser and then types in Cyrillic, burly Russian men having sex with tigers, or perhaps spank me, I've been naughty. WikiLeaks would not find that to be worth exposing. It's just sour grapes, WikiLeaks might say. I love you guys. Jen just said, please, 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 Bob, keep that. Bring me emails of Moose and Squirrel. Please say that every day. Only for you, Jen. Only for you. Bring me emails of Moose and Squirrel. Ron is sticking to his guns. He says, I don't buy that Putin would put so much on the line for what is essentially coffee and donut money in the big scheme of things. What? And see, that's the thing. I don't know. If you're sitting there thinking about rolling tanks into Latvia, Ukraine, Estonia, what have you. What have you is right between Latvia and Estonia. It might not be coffee and donut money, you know, to restore the old Soviet satellite states. And if you could delegitimize the NATO alliance in the process to make sure that no one would push back to defend Latvia and Estonia and Ukraine, etc. And where we're talking about Ukraine, I guess we should say not roll tanks, but roll more tanks. Then it rises above coffee and donuts, I think. Laurel says, I'm having nightmares about nuclear war again for the first time in a long time. Not your garden variety nightmares either, where I'm just minding my own business and everything goes white. No, in my new nightmares, I'm caring for the survivors. Oof. That's creepy. That's real creepy. So we got that, but we got other stuff. We got stuff that doesn't even have anything to do with Moose and Squirrel, doesn't have anything to do with the pustulant, lying, unscrupulous. I gotta commit that to memory, Jen. Pustulant, lying, unscrupulous, grotesque sexual predator. We got stuff that has nothing to do with him either. Angry says, nope. Bullwinkle was my favorite fucking cartoon, always was. Bullwinkle was more political than, say, the Warner Brothers and Chuck Jones in their ways. Warner Brothers and Chuck Jones were more close to home, whereas there was a more, I don't know, international flavor to Bullwinkle. clearly the animation in over at Warner Brothers was miles ahead. But it ain't necessarily the animation that made Bullwinkle. I wonder if we could... Nah, probably not. But still, it's worth it. Let's try again. Just because we've been... Okay, let's try a minute of this just for the levity's sake. Make sure there's no ad in front of it. Maybe not. There we go.
You got orders from Central Control?
You bet. They send these.
What are they?
Walter Winks. One of us must swim back.
Swim?
But who?
Well, let's do things fair with square. We'll draw straws for it. Long straw gets to swim. Okay? Okay. I'll take first one. Ooh, he's short. Natasha?
Also short.
Well, looks like you're it, Captain. Have nice trip.
And the unlucky captain started on his 3,000-mile swim.
Well, so let's buy boat ticket and go back home.
Buy ticket and go back home? Natasha, where is your pride, your professional integrity? We steal tickets and go back home.
Did you catch that? Your professional integrity? Oh, they were some clever ones. Yes, they were. So, Ron says that Agent Fred, either of the Agent Freds, the Fred brothers, P-H-R-E-D or P-H-R-E-A-D, are screwing with the feed up in far frozen Canada. Said, I'm getting about every third word by piecing together the message thus far. Putin has vanity, Putin has B cups. No, damn it, D cups! Senior officials who were given no name at birth know that some bad shit has been done by Russian gnomes. Trump gives good tongue and, damn, lost the feed again. I'm back, so are you, and I haven't changed my mind. And there is no requirement that you do so. Arthur points out that Netflix used to have Rocky and Bullwinkle, but they don't anymore. Why are they removing so many good offerings? It's probably bad work of Moose and Squirrel. Just because I'm trying to work Moose and Squirrel into conversation as often as possible, because it's making Jen giggle every time I say it down in Australia. And maybe others as well. Mm-hmm. No, but there is stuff that has nothing to do with plugs and has nothing to do with Pooty Poot, Big Bad Vladdy Daddy. There is this, however. According to The Hill, yesterday, oh, I hate these stupid goddamn ads. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said on Wednesday that Donald Trump knew before Election Day that Russia was behind a series of hacks on Democrats during the campaign. There's ample evidence that was known long before the election, and in most cases, long before October. Mm-hmm. And, of course, at our peril, we forget that it was July. It was July when... Benito Cheeto, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, when he called on his Russian masters to release damaging information about Hillary Clinton. But Hillary, goddamn, oh my God, Hillary, Jesus, Goldman Sachs, the Trilateral Commission, say the Steiniacs. Right. But let's leave that aside. Maybe we can come back to it if we want to. Because there's other stuff. You may recall Monday evening in our conversation, Ron and I covered a whole lot of ground. Some of the ground we covered included issues of water in a little place called Gary, West Virginia, down in McDowell County. Where they had to stop drinking their water, which comes out of a coal seam from an abandoned coal mine, because the water turned black. And they were still waiting on test results to find out if there was, you know, any poison in the water. Well, they don't have a coal seam to tap into for well water in Corpus Christi, Texas. Nonetheless, oh well. City officials in Corpus Christi, Texas are warning residents not to use their tap water at all after possible contamination by an unknown chemical. Right. A press release from the city of Corpus Christi points to a recent backflow incident in the industrial district and tells the people who live in the water-based animals, let's refer to human beings as water-based creatures, about 73% water when you get right down to it. The press release tells the water-based sentient creatures in Corpus Christi to only use bottled water for all food preparation, drinking, washing, and bathing needs until further notice. You know, most of us probably don't think about on a daily or even hourly basis, or possibly weekly or monthly, what the capacity of a bathtub is, or how many gallons it takes to take a shower, or how long it takes to heat the water up to mix with cold water to create warm water so that you don't just stand there screaming taking said shower when it turns out that an industrial backflow incident has resulted in not being able to use the water in any of the fashions or forms in which water is typically used. We also don't take into account that once you factor in how many gallons it takes to take a shower, let alone a bath, even the smallest of bathtubs are surprisingly capacious when it comes to encompassing water. We don't take into account the 88 cents a gallon that it costs over to the Wally World, or the 91 cents a gallon it costs over to the Kroger's, or the straight-up dollar a gallon it costs over to the Wiggling Pig. Because we really don't have to. Because you turn on the tap and the water comes out. At least that's the way it's supposed to work in civilization. Right? Yeah. Not so much. The water-based sentient creatures in Corpus Christi, Texas are supposed to not use the water that comes out of their taps, even to take a shower. The city went further because down in Texas, they can be sort of self-reliant because they don't need no big government down in Texas to tell them how to lead their lives. So they'll just get things sorted out and figured out on their own because big government is the problem. And so they might tend to try to make the water better by themselves. Ah, hell, it can't be any harder than pulling the engine on a 68 Nova. I mean, we'll put some shit in it and see if it don't clear it up. And then we can bath the baby. In all caps, the notice to the literate, sentient, water-based creatures living in Corpus Christi, Texas, said, "Do not try to treat the water yourself." Boiling, freezing, filtering, adding chlorine or other disinfectants, or letting the water stand will not make the water safe. As a result, the Corpus Christi schools canceled classes because you can't have the little ones getting all thirsty at school and deciding to sneak up to get a drink out of the water fountain, even though teacher said not to do it, because that water's all full of freedom. Because that's what it's full of, is freedom. Huh, I wondered if anybody would remember that. Gerald points out, you can't even shower in the water? Huh, seems like I've played this tune before, like a couple or 3 years ago. Oh, yeah, I mean, hi, Corpus Christi, just call up here to West Virginia. We can tell you all about it. Folks will get and you know, you're right, warmer than we are here. Folks are going to get ripe in a straight-up hurry. But you're all going to smell the same, so it'll be okay. Wait a minute, we're all going to be the same? That's communism! But no. Corpus Christi's water-based sentient creatures need to just calm the hell down and not worry, and they're not, because freedom. Because the only reason that their water is poisonous right now is because it got some free market in it, which is a function of freedom and liberty. According to the city of Corpus Christi, they've got a pretty good idea that, quote, an oil-based petroleum chemical got into the water and caused a water issue. And the water issue started over to a refinery. The city, of course, because the city loves freedom and does not like to have its county courthouse burnt to the ground, would not identify the refinery involved. Remember the other day? Oh, I said this didn't have anything to do with plugs, but it does. Remember the other day when he tweeted something about how the EPA regulations stifled our manufacturing and took 15 years to get a permit to put in a brand new plant? And I couldn't help observing on the Twitter machine that he would squeal like the stuck little pig he is if somebody decided, say, ExxonMobil and his pal Rex Tillerson, if somebody decided to put a refinery in there next to Mar-a-Lago. Boy, he'd sure want him some relief from that job-killing EPA then, wouldn't he? I mean, hell, he couldn't even tolerate the idea of having a couple of perfectly innocuous wind turbines offshore from one of his golf courses.
Well, you wouldn't like it either. I mean, those wind turbines, they cause so much wind, they give you a slice when you don't have one in the first place. I've never sliced in my life, and now I go over there, and everything's a goddamn banana ball into the heather.
He's lying, of course. The man couldn't hit a straight golf ball if his life depended on it. Now, on the other hand, when he takes melanoma golfing with him, Benito Cheeto slices, but melanoma's a hooker. I'll wait and see if I get an email awarding me a cowbell for that. Maybe not. Just in case anybody was wondering, now, here in West Virginia a couple of years back, when people in nine counties were involuntarily enrolled in a 20-year-long study of whether or not methyl chlorohexane methanol turns out to be a cancer-causing agent, that was about 300,000 people over the space of nine counties. But we're not a populous state, West Virginia, and so it took nine counties to come up with 300,000 people to poison. Oh, thank you. Okay, Arnold just messaged me. Jesus Christ, of course it's a cowbell. Okay. I mean, it's not that I'm cowbell hungry or anything, but There's never good. More cowbell. Anyway, the oil-based petroleum chemical got into Corpus Christi's water, and right there in Corpus Christi, not nine counties in West Virginia like up here, but just right there in Corpus Christi, which of course means body of Christ, which now apparently has an oil-based chemical in it. It's another miracle. There's more than 300,000 people in Corpus Christi. So that actually means something, getting their water poisoned. And, of course, the question that goes unanswered in this particular story is, and it's a question that's never really been answered here in West Virginia either, where freedom broke out lots more than 10,000 gallons into the Elk River and thereby into the bodies of the sentient, well, I mean, it's West Virginia, quasi-sentient, water-based creatures. Mm-hmm. The cowbell has been confirmed by Jen in Australia. Thank you. Thank you, Jen. That was freedom that broke out all over the place, and we really don't know and it's never been sufficiently answered. I mean, there was this highfalutin panel that came out with not much in the way of recommendations and stuff, and the question they never answered was how many people actually ingested the poison. And it would appear that that question is also relevant in Body of Christ, Texas. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many people got poisoned by an oil-based chemical before they issued the don't drink the water warning. Mm-hmm. Which kind of goes along with something that has been buried underneath stories about moose and squirrel and pooty poot and tigers and bare chested bear wrestling and Russian hacking and the looming nightmare that hovers over the United States. Yeah. As Jen points out, if Obama has done fuck all about Flint, can you imagine plugs doing a goddamn thing for these people? No. Please, no, it's their job as Merkins to consume corporate chemicals so that we can be great again. Corpus Christi, Texas, you're up next, making America great again by swallowing poison. My God, that's positively Byzantine. But no, not a lot of reporting out there. It'll probably show up here in a couple of minutes in the Green News Report, but still. The Environmental Protection Agency, in its waning days, as it's coughing up blood from its fatal wound, they've issued a report. They've reached a conclusion. They've done thinky things, and it turns out fracking can affect drinking water, and by affect we mean poison the fuck out of it. As Think Progress reports, in light of the facts that tap water near some fracking wells has become flammable, that two families in Pennsylvania last year won a court case over the impacts of fracking on their water, and that scientists have found arsenic in water sources near fracking, the EPA's announcement this past Tuesday should not come as a surprise. But it does, since just 18 months ago, a draft version of the EPA's fracking report said that the EPA did not find evidence that these mechanisms have led to widespread systemic impacts on drinking water resources in the United States. Well, the report has been finalized. Over at Environment America, they have a stop drilling program, and Rachel Richardson runs it. And she said, EPA's report confirms what experts in the science show, that fracking operations put our drinking water at risk. That families from Colorado to Pennsylvania have had their water contaminated from fracking should be evidence enough, but today's report confirms fracking puts our water at risk. As Think Progress points out, and in particular Samantha Page at Think Progress, the EPA does not necessarily conclude that the effects are widespread or systemic. Instead, what this report more accurately depicts is the lack of data on fracking's impact on water. In other words, nobody really gave a good old-fashioned goddamn about whether water was impacted by fracking before various and sundry state agencies said, sure, frack the fuck out of them. Those impacts that were mentioned, however, there are six of them. Using large volumes of water in arid or water-stressed regions, spilling the chemical-laced water, faulty injections that fail to contain the water, injections that go directly into water supplies, it happens, failure to treat the wastewater before it is released, and disposing of the wastewater inadequately. Here's the fun part. You can't. Just like in the case of mountaintop removal, you can't put the mountain back, because you can't. Not and have it be a mountain. Not and have it be a viable part of an ecosystem that grows things like trees. I mean, the coal industry will say things, well, hell, we got 10-year-old maple trees on that site. To which Judy Bonds once famously responded, I can grow a 10-year-old maple tree in a goddamn plastic bucket. It's just not going to become a 20-year-old maple tree, or Lord knows, not a 100-year-old one. But that whole failure to treat the wastewater before it's released and disposing of the wastewater inadequately, here's the thing. It never stops being wastewater. It never becomes water again. Once you add the chemicals to it, it isn't water anymore. That's like the hundreds of billions of gallons of toxic waste that sit in back behind dirt and rock dams all over central Appalachia. That's toxic coal. That's coal slurry. They don't even like to put toxic in front of it. I'm about the only person who refers to that shit for what it is. Toxic waste. And guess what untreated wastewater from fracking is? Anybody? Toxic waste. But like I said a minute ago, this paragraph, but for most fracking operations, the agency was hampered by lack of baseline testing showing water quality before the fracking took place, or a lack of public data at all. Because again, the oil company comes in, looks at the captive little Department of Environmental Quality Protection, whatever, in any given state where they really want the money, jobs! And they go, oh, hell yeah, sure. I mean, how could that affect the water? It causes an earthquake once in a while, but that ain't got nothing to do with water. Frack away, boys. And so you wind up relying on, you know what? We used to be able to drink the water around here. Well, that's not really data. That's not scientifically proven by double-blind studies that you actually used to be able to drink the water around here. We think the water's always been filthy and full of hydrocarbons, just like it is now.
God damn it, I wouldn't have lived to be 92 years old if I was drinking toxic waste.
Well, maybe you're evolving, sir. Yeah. The EPA, in its statement, said, Data gaps and uncertainties limited EPA's ability to fully assess the potential impacts on drinking water resources, both locally and nationally. The understanding of the potential impacts from hydraulic fracturing on drinking water resources will continue to improve over time as new information becomes available. Time out. The understanding of the potential impacts from hydraulic fracturing on drinking water resources will continue to improve. The understanding will continue to improve over time as new information becomes available. That means the more they frack and the more water they poison, the more we'll figure out that fracking poisons water. Well, that certainly seems scientific to me. How about you? Let's poison some more water so we can find out if fracking poisons water. You know, by that standard, Jesus Christ, by that standard, what we need to do is build more pipelines to find out if when pipelines rupture and break and leak, they poison drinking water supplies for millions of people downstream from the fucking pipeline. That way more information will become available over time. Some bitch. Isn't that just playing a little fast and loose with people's health, well-being, ability to be living, sentient, water-based organisms? Yeah. I mean, at least to me. Maybe you. And see, this, if fracking concerns you, and it concerns the out of me, then, you know, here's where the problem lies. At least, because of a bunch of, a small group of pissed off hillbillies who were tired of waiting around for the smart people to finally do something about mountaintop removal, at least because of them, there is actually a law before the Congress that would do something about mountaintop removal and do it via the application of the precautionary principle, namely what we're talking about is the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. There is still no such similar legislation of which I am aware on offer in the Congress of the United States. And while you can have individual state moratoria for instance, there's one in New York. It's the only one I'm aware of. Just the same way that the Koch brothers and their affiliated thugs came through and picked off individual state houses one by one. Well, they've done the same thing with environmental standards. The only hope here is federal action. And I realize that talking about federal action being the only hope, considering what's coming down the pike at us, is, maybe a little bit fantasy-laden. But the fact remains that it's the only hope. Yeah, Earther pointing out, yeah, Bob, without a baseline, we have no way of knowing if fracking caused the pollution. Maybe it was unicorns who coincided with the fracking. Yeah, I know. But there's no federal relief out there. And we're not going to have any federal relief. And the trouble that arises out of this has a little bit to do with the fact that it's all sciency, and we've got a whole bunch of people in the United States who think that Jesus will fix it. This is not prayer meeting Wednesday. But damn. When you write all the letters and everything, and you get the little baby taken up to St. Jude's in Memphis. Because she's been bathed in poisonous water for most of her little life. And the doctor says, well, you know, it's a very rare form of leukemia she's got, and there's not a lot of cures. Well, Mommy and Daddy and Grammy and Grampy just look at each other and say, I reckon it's God's will. Because they keep electing people who tell them that it's God's will. When in point of fact, baby has leukemia because it's people like Rex Tillerson's will. It's the Koch brothers' will. It's the will of various and sundry fracking companies who, if you mention the fact that they, you know, poison the occasional four-year-old, will say, yeah, but what about the jobs? We got to have some jobs. Well, the four-year-old's not going to have a fucking job. Well, I mean, maybe she will. She'll be feeding fucking worms. That's a job. You'll forgive me if I get a little frustrated. Because it feels very like and I don't even want to even give credence. I'll just say it, Bob. It feels hopeless. Because what's necessary for people to protect themselves is first that people become aware. They have to become aware of what's being done to them. And in places like the Deep South, the mindset hasn't changed that much. 160 years ago, poor people who didn't own slave number one were conned into taking up arms against their very own country that just days before they had sworn that they loved, and marching off to die for a minority of rich white slave owners. And to this day, you can still convince them that jobs are more important than the lives of three-year-olds, just like, you know, freedom for some rich white slave owners was more important in 1860 than their own ability to scratch a living out of the dirt year in and year out. And I don't know about you, but I find that more than a little frustrating. Earther asks, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, didn't today's widespread fracking begin during Bush W, when they exempted fracking from the Clean Water Act? They knew it was going to poison groundwater. I honestly don't know the opinion to that. I don't know the answer to that. We probably need a little bit of in-depth research on the topic. Might come in downright handy. But don't think for a minute that plugs, pustulant, lying. Why can't I remember that? Come on. Pustulant, lying, unscrupulous, grotesque, sexual predator. If you think he cares about four-year-olds getting leukemia or 40-year-olds getting bizarre brain cancers, one house next to the next, next to the next, next to the next, and that brain cancer only occurs once in 100,000 people, well, this is the Horn Family Community Congregation, and I know you're not that gullible, so I don't have to worry about that. I've over-filibobstered. Sorry. I have. I've over-filibobstered. Oh, thank you, Jen. Jen and Graham. Thank you very kindly for helping out. We were at $179.45 in fundraising to go. And Jan and Graham took that down to $259.45. Thank you very kindly. We can keep at this. Ron and Raleigh with a note. Bob, oh, I'm in trouble. You can't prove that those fracking companies are poisoning the water. After all, what they're injecting into the ground is proprietary, so you can't possibly say it's poisoning the water because you don't know what it is. Oh, right, forgot. Sorry. We regret the error. Ron also points out, can you hear it? Melanoma. New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. Yeah. Michael and Madison with a question. Subject line, what did Putin risk? I'm not clear what Putin is allegedly risking. We ain't going to do shit. We ain't going to go to war with Russia over this. Hell, we ain't even willing to relitigate the election. And this applies to the outgoing Obama administration, a hypothetical Hillary administration, and it damn sure applies to the Trump administration. At best, maybe we would have beefed up our cybers, you know, cybersecurity, and maybe poked around a bit in Russia's e-vaults, as I'm sure we already do. Where's my geopolitical blind spot here? Cui bono, Putin. He got everything he wanted. If his gamble had failed, what would he have lost? It's all upside. Yeah, Michael, yeah. So, we've got, by the way, this charming little paragraph from the Think Progress story about the EPA fracking report. It's not clear that the science will continue to be investigated, at least in the near term. President-elect Donald Trump has suggested dismantling the EPA, and his nominee to head the agency has come out strongly in favor of oil and gas development. Trump is in the process of assembling what will be the most anti-government, pro-fossil fuel cabinet in modern history. Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt, who has fought the EPA regulations for years, has been tapped to run the EPA. It's worth noting, and this is the last paragraph. No, it's not the last paragraph. Is it the last paragraph? No. It's worth noting that water quality is not the only thing at risk from fracking. Fracking has been linked to numerous air quality concerns, including in areas where fracking wells are located close to schools. Fracking has been tied to asthma, migraines, and other health impacts. You know, like death. Because those same fine particulates that come rolling off of mountaintop removal sites come blowing out the tops of fracking operations, too. Now, I said that there were no anti-fracking bills. There is one sort of progressive hero, Representative Raul Grijalva, incorrectly identified by Think Progress as a Democrat from New Mexico. He's actually from Arizona, I do believe. Introduced a bill that would require state and federal officials to prevent earthquakes when possible. The announcement from Grijalva's office says, the bill would ensure that Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt, whose deep ties to the oil and gas industry have already received widespread coverage, would address the issue as head of the Environmental Protection Agency under the Trump administration, a step he refused to take as Attorney General. Samantha Page then puts the cherry on top of the... With Republican control of the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the White House, though, it is unlikely the bill will progress. Because, you know, it's more interesting and better for business and better for jobs when four-year-olds don't get to be five-year-olds. Got it? Yeah. Right. Jen says, I'm sitting here with friends. Arthur says, hi. Hi, Arthur! Gathered around the laptop listening while watching 8 glorious little ducklings born in our pond, frolicking in the water. Water is life. This is so painful to hear. Well, we will eventually get to a place where those who can afford water will be able to afford life. And then, once there's some profit tied to it, once it's more actively swapped on the commodities market, right up there with gold and uranium and platinum and things like that, well, then, you know what? The people who own the clean water will look at the rest of us and they'll say what we were saying now. Hey, y'all. Water is life. Buy some water today. Good, fresh, clean water. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Gerald says, funny, every reclaimed strip mine that I've ever seen, and living where I live, I've seen a lot. The only thing that grows on that rock pile is scrub brush and briars and an occasional cedar tree. Note, cedar trees will grow just about damn near anywhere. And, yeah, right, because God loves the little child with leukemia so much that he lets them die of a horrible disease. Sobering. Hey, Frank has saved me from ciphering. Yes. With $19.45, we are now down to $220 to go. No. $229 to go. Well, you might help me for somebody. Let's see, 249.45. So take off the 45, 249. Take off the 9, 240. 230! I knew I could do it. $230 to go in fundraising for the evening. Ron says, water? You want water? Send money. Canada would never be that crass. Hey, there's water ice on Mars. Goddamn hippie lefties. Go talk to Elon Musk. Get on. Go. Jen says, Bob, you just sent chills. How would we fucking know if this is not the actual apocalypse? That's the problem with apocalypse. See, that's the problem with apocalypse. You don't really know. Nobody really knows until they write the history. Thanks, Tony. Thanks very much. We are now down to $210 to go in fundraising this evening. Thank you very much indeed. Subject line, joyous, coming from Steve in Vermont. During this transition period, at least we know who the executioners are. No need to try to peep under the mask now, is there? You know, I told you I was watching Local Hero, and I watched Local Hero to take a break from some pretty bodice-rippy filmmaking. Agnes and I started watching Outlander, which is about it's a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court with some bodice ripping added in. Only it's set in Scotland, in the Highlands, in, say, long about 1740. Just a few short years before the 45. And like I said, I get real nerdy. They got clean water in Scotland. They keep it in things called lochs. And um, What I found interesting, I started reading up on things like population density because I'm such a freaking nerd. The scenery is worth the bodice ripping. Let's put it that way. And so are the accents. And the acting is really quite impressive. I mean, Jesus Christ, if you want a manifestation of just pure fucking evil, I mean, evil on a level that would make Darth Vader go, "God damn, that is evil." Tobias Menzies, trained at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, fine actor. You're gonna have to work hard to find somebody eviler than him. But the scenery of the Highlands is beautiful, and if you know a little bit about that history, then maybe you want to know a little bit more, and you want to know what happened after Culloden. It was something called the Clearances. The English engaged in a level of ethnic cleansing that would have gotten certain people hauled before, an international tribunal in the modern age. The Highland folk were literally driven out. A lot of them wound up emigrating first maybe to Northern Ireland, which was just you could practically row there from, say, Oban. And then on to America. Apparently my Kincaid ancestors were part of that. But for curiosity's sake, yeah, I looked up what the low temperature is in Scotland in winter, as our temperatures here were falling around to 14, 15 degrees. And I thought, oh, 32. Lovely. And then I looked up population density. Now, I live in a place that's pretty damn rural. And population density in West Virginia is, on average, something like about 50 people per square mile, taken all together. I guess you divide the number of people in West Virginia into the number of square miles and you get an answer. But that's, you know, that's ciphering, and I'm subject to problems. Oh, gee, thanks. We got things down to $230 to go, and then Ron jumped in and took us down to, you bastard. Let's see, it's 210, 209, 208.58 to go. We got 208.58 to go. Ha! 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 I did it! 208.58 to go in the program, but it turns out the population density of the Scottish Highlands is something like 9.1 human beings per square mile. Or square, no, 9.1 per square kilometer. That is how profound the clearances were, the ethnic cleansing, which was followed then in the 19th century by a potato famine that is much less well-known than the potato famine in Ireland, but had a similar effect. If you like that romancy stuff and some bodice ripping and mixed in with a little bit of history, and if you've never actually read A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, you might enjoy Outlander. It gets a little hokey from time to time, but there's a great deal of attention to detail, and the acting is, you know, it's drawn from the British theater mostly. Haven't found any Merkins in it yet. But along the way, you wind up learning some Scottish history, and I couldn't help thinking about my ancestors coming over here. And at first, the Well, once they got past the fact that they had to steal the land they wanted to live on from the people who'd been here for 10 or 15,000 years, and because they were shock troops for the English overlords and they committed some murder and mayhem, there was some wide open land in Appalachia that probably looked a little bit like the Highlands. Felt like home. Then winter came. Shit! And suddenly, it was a lot colder, and the summers were a lot hotter. But hey, they could grow tomatoes. And lo and behold, a couple of hundred years pass, and we get a modern version of the clearances all over again. The land is stolen and controlled by outside landlord, landowner interests. People are driven off the land that they had homesteaded. And there's a hillbilly exodus of the same Scots-Irish who left with a price on their head, or at least a gun pointed at their back, a couple hundred years before. Everything old is new again. I find it fascinating. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jay Cruzen, my hero, who just kicked in $8.48, or I'm sorry, $8.58, to take us down to a nice round $200 in fundraising to go this evening. Thank you, Jay Cruzen. Thank you very much. Take that, Ron! Ha! Round numbers. We love them here. Oh, by the way, I mentioned water ice on Mars. Robert Nestrelius says, those white areas on the dwarf planet Ceres have been confirmed as a mixture of salt and water ice, probably from an underground brine sea. Last one there is a rotten egg! And, hey, who knows? Maybe the water will smell like rotten egg. We know a little bit about that around here, too. And there it is. Gerald remembers the line. Oil, don't buy it at the station. You can get it now for free. Just go on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. I always think of that verse, Gerald says, whenever someone ruins good drinking water. Mm-hmm. Steve Forbert, the oil song. Okay, so I have filibobstered way too much. We're halfway done with the program this evening, and I'm sure maybe some of y'all would like to engage in conversation. No? Well, how do you do that? Let me tell you. 304-663-4676. That's the stress line. The other line is 304-574-8178. And then there's Skype. Same computer as Skype and the 8178 line, but I could do one but not the other. But Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet is free, 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 free. And you are free to join in. And I encourage you so to do. It is Thursday. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday here on the Horn. That means, of course, that we get the Green News Report. From Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Damn it, Gerald. Newman. Okay, so we were at $200. Now we're at $186. And 43 cents. 186.43 to go. Thank you, Gerald. Thank you. That was pretty quick. That was pretty quick cipher, too, wasn't it? All right, Green News Report on the way. Let's take a break. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back. By request. Hi, Heather.
Just another homeless family, hoping for a stranger's charity. Just one night and one safe place to stay. Underneath the stars, so far away. She carried everything they had and more. The little one the world was waiting for. And somewhere in the night her child was born. Into every heart so tired and torn.
It's Thursday, December 15, 2016.
Yes, our climate's changed. They've been changing for ever since the Earth was formed.
Trump taps former Texas Governor Rick Perry to head the nation's nuclear arsenal.
Over-regulation, excessive bureaucracy is stifling our ability to innovate.
Trump's pick for Interior Department, not a fan of oil and gas regulations. EPA now says fracking does harm drinking water supplies. Plus, the Arctic is unraveling.
All of that unraveling and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The Department of Energy, I believe, has the highest ratio of PhDs per employee of any of the agencies, because it's doing all of this physics and energy research and weapons research. And so it's a good thing that Rick Perry got those glasses that made him smart.
Yes, it is. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, I'm just wondering if former Texas Governor Rick Perry will finally learn how to say the word nuclear now that he's been tapped to head up the nation's nuclear arsenal.
Yes, yes, one would hope. It's true, Donald Trump has selected former Texas governor and fellow Republican presidential candidate Rick Perry to head the Department of Energy. This is the same Rick Perry who once famously forgot he wanted to abolish the Department of Energy.
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. I can't. The third. Sorry. Oops.
Oops. Apparently, the Department of Energy is so inconsequential that he can't even remember its name.
Well, hopefully he knows that it's not focused on oil and gas, but instead on managing the nation's nuclear weapons and advanced physics research, not really his area of expertise.
What is his area of expertise?
That's a good question. The Energy Department researches climate change, but Perry is a climate science denier who calls climate change contrived and phony. When Texas was grappling with record drought a few years ago, Perry's response as governor was to call for 3 days of prayer.
Oh, like that didn't work.
Meanwhile, the current Department of Energy has responded to a chilling questionnaire sent by the Trump transition team requesting that they name names of scientists and employees who worked on climate issues, but the department has bluntly refused to comply. The Trump camp now says that questionnaire was, quote, unauthorized.
Sure it was.
Donald Trump's pick to head the Interior Department is a first-term congressman from Montana, a Republican representative named Ryan Zinke. Interior regulates the nation's natural resources, public lands, and oil and gas drilling. Zinke is an avid hunter who is strongly against the push by some Republicans to transfer federal public lands to the states.
Well, that's good.
But he does support loosening regulations on domestic fossil fuel production and accelerating fossil fuel exports.
Not as good.
Some of these rules that are being made by unelected bureaucrats that don't even know where Montana is in the map. I think we do need to export liquid natural gas.
Zinke is also a soft climate science denier, meaning he acknowledges that it's happening, but he objects to doing anything about it. And that makes him a denier. Speaking of climate change, the latest Arctic report card, released Tuesday by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is alarming. The Arctic just had its hottest year ever recorded, 6 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than in 1900. Record high monthly temperatures were set in the winter months when it is darkest and the Arctic should be actually very cold. In a statement, the scientists said the Arctic used to, quote, whisper change, but now it is shouting.
Well, maybe, but in the world of Trump, no one can hear you scream.
All of Trump's cabinet picks support expanding fossil fuels and oppose action on climate change. Joe Rome, founding editor of Climate Progress and himself a physicist and former assistant secretary of the Department of Energy, on the broadcast this week notes that Trump campaigned on gutting climate science programs and research, so environmental groups will now have to redouble their efforts.
We clearly are going to have to make a stand because it is literally the fate of the next 1,000 years, the irreversible nature of climate change that will be decided in the course of Trump's administration.
Oh, we can worry about that later.
Finally, the EPA has revised its draft report on fracking and now says fracking does harm drinking water in some circumstances, a significant reversal that has angered the oil and gas industry. The revision came after the EPA's independent science advisory panel said the evidence did not support a widely publicized claim in the EPA's draft version that downplayed fracking impacts as not widespread or systemic. But in this final version of the report, the EPA now acknowledges fracking operations can harm drinking water.
I'm sure we'll correct that record soon. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I see the very moon horizon. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning.
Wait a minute, that's not Christmas music. Yeah, oh well. Happy holidays, y'all. It is 7:45 here in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. It is 15 minutes before the beginning of the third hour of the program. The song, for those of you asking, a lot of people thought that was Anne Murray. That was no Canadian. That was American. That was Kathy Mattea, the star, Kathy Mattea from Cross Lanes, West Virginia, which, as Gerald notes, Kathy Mattea, who hails from Cross Lanes, West Virginia, home of 20 churches and only 12 schools. I think I see a connection with our current political problems. I think I do, too. Yeah. Big problem. Hey, let's go to the phones. Look, it's Angry. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man, what's up?
What do you know?
I don't know. Tell me. You know,
I'll tell you something. Snow isn't safe anymore. Nice white snow is not safe anymore, at least not in Philadelphia.
When was it ever? Especially Philly snow. When did you ever get that idea?
Yeah, well, it ain't like it. Don't drink the snow, right? I mean, Frank Zappa.
Well,
you know,
don't drink the snow, and if you're making small snowballs, be careful how close you are to the curb. I mean, snow's always been dangerous in a city.
Well, but it's gotten just downright icky. I mean, granted, Frank Zappa said, "Watch out where those huskies go, and don't you eat that yellow snow." But this is different. Snow fell in Philadelphia because it's blue ass cold over back here in the east, and there was a light dusting on cars all up and down a street over in the Temple University area. So nothing brings out white supremacist, economically anxiety laden Trump supporters like a good white snow. I'm looking at photographs right now of a car with a swastika drawn in the snow, and that ever so special word with two G's and E and I and R and an N that isn't ginger.
Yeah, nigga.
Yeah. And Trump 2016. Don't forget the Trump.
Oh, they're talking Trump 2020 already around here.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, I don't know. Since, you know, you brought up Trump, and when I was listening earlier talking about Russia, okay, you know, I'm watching people do a fucking flip. Here we go again back into all world, right? Why I say I don't fucking trust nobody in the U.S. when it comes to politics, because it's not so much that people lie and all that kind of shit. It's just that there's so much bullshit and so much copying on to, well, you know, I'm still in the fucking best country in the world, so I'm just going to go along with the bullshit. You know, it's almost becoming more like the Soviet Union every goddamn day in terms of mentality. It's not funny, but this isn't communism. None of this is. There are fucking people who are telling me with a straight face, Brother Bob, that, you know, somehow Trump is in bed with the communists. And I'm like, Putin isn't a communist. Yes, he is. I'm like, no, he is not. Yes,
what?
He is. He's a Russian. Look, I tried to get some people on my show a couple of days ago because I went to get coffee in the morning, as usual. I have talked, you know, my chats with people here and shit, you know, over coffee. It makes up a lot of my show. Three goddamn Republicans wanted to fucking argue with me that Obama was behind, that Obama and George Soros were behind 9/11, and that Obama invaded Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh, and I'm like, yeah, and that Bush and now the latest thing, Angry, is that Hillary ordered the hacking of the DNC, and Hillary ordered the hacking of John Podesta's email. Because Hillary.
They got nothing to fuck else, man.
We got friends of this program who advocate for, like, the occasional and judicious use of hallucinogens. And, no, I can't do that because we're well past weird enough for that shit. Really? Hillary Clinton ordered the hacking of the DNC. Well, I'll be dipped.
Well, their man Trump, who contradicts himself all the fucking time. First, he's against the Electoral College, then he's all fucking for it. You know, he asked them in public. This is on the fucking record. He's like, hey, please hack into her computer so we can find out her connections to Goldman Sachs. And I said to these jerks, three fucking executives from Goldman Sachs now work for the fucking Trump administration.
Are you counting Steve Bannon?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was three or four. But see, I mean, I can go wandering around on social media, as I've pointed out, Angry, and I can find any number of Sparkle Pony people who are still going, oh, Jesus, Hillary, Goldman Sachs, goddamn. They're still there. And it's like something's eaten through their brains.
It's a self-perpetuating fucking, you know, look, I got to deal with this shit with my fucking in-laws and some of my fucking neighbors. And friends, you know, their parents, who they beg me not to argue. Please don't argue with my dad. I'm like, I don't argue with your dad. Your dad argues with me, you know.
Yeah, don't you hate that?
I can see you. Yeah, you know, he wants to come into the room that we're in or come outside, you know, while we're trying to do business. And he's just like, hey, you know, you goddamn Democrats. And I'm like, I'm not a Democrat. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Well, you're not on my side, so you're a Democrat. You know, just...
Yeah, I mean, if you get right down to cases, you know, I made an argument for voting in favor of Hillary Clinton in advance of the election. I was for Bernie. Bernie wasn't left enough for me, but I'm not one of those. I'm probably more left than most people who listen to this program. I mean, sincerely, but I also recognize that I have to live in reality, not in a theoretical world, and so. I made the argument that Hillary was better choice than Trump, and I think I was right then, and I think I'm right now. I guess we'll find out in 4 years, or in a month and a half, or two, or whatever. When it comes to the right wingers, the Trumpansies and stuff, Angry, what you described doesn't surprise me, because, well, I mean. I experience it around here. You keep your mouth shut. You mind your own business. And they come up to you and, how about that, Trump? We're going to be America great again now. And so then suddenly you're thrust.
You don't say a fucking word to them.
You've got a question thrust on you. Do you just kind of put your head down and nod and tug your forelock and go, mm-hmm, yeah, great again? Or do you look them in the eye and say, man, you are crazier in the head than the hog is in the ass?
Well, I mean, when it's been happening lately, I just asked them, is there a particular reason why you picked me out of everybody here to come and talk to about this? I don't know you. Well, I just figured, you know, I mean, you know, we're all Americans. I said, no, but you picked out of the 16 people standing here, you picked it to come and talk to me, right? Well, I said, no, what it is, you want to start an argument. Why don't you go start an argument with somebody else? You know, I just stopped it from the fucking beginning. Why are you coming to me with this? Why are you making a point of saying this? You know, what is your fucking real reason? But see, here's the thing, though, Brother Bob. We're talking about the right because it's easy. Let's really fucking, you know, do Orwell and look at the fucking left, too.
Now, oh, I'm all left, for I'm all for
that's
that.
Goddamn crazy. You know, because for one thing, like when you and I were, you know, we're disagreeing, the main fucking thing was through this election, I was making the argument, and I still feel I was correct about this. That fucking Bernie, we knew that he was getting cut from the fucking knees up before this shit even got started by Hillary Clinton and her fucking people. You know, we waited for WikiLeaks to fucking come out and show that. Not because they thought that Sanders should get in, but only because they were trying to help fucking Trump. You know, it didn't take too much to fucking see that Clinton and Debbie Wasserman Schultz were working directly against Sanders. And we didn't really make a fucking argument. We didn't argue with each other, I guess is what I'm saying, in terms of, look, I know you like Hillary, and I know you think it's a woman's fucking turn, but the fucking reality is, if you're fucking talking about, you know, how bad Trump is, for example, or Ted Cruz and any of them, Trump and Hillary Clinton share a fucking tax dodging goddamn address or tax shelter, whatever the fuck you want to call it. They do business together. They're fucking friends, or at least they used to goddamn be, you know, and it's like you're fucking talking about Sanders is this nobody, or Sanders, you know, is a fucking, what did somebody tell me? That Sanders was a Russian agent. I'm like, where did you get this from?
Well, I mean, and see,
from a DNC person.
Yeah, Angry. This, you know, that went back to the early smear of he spent his
Bernie Sanders spent his honeymoon in Russia.
And that was the DNC pushing that. It was not the Republicans. They weren't even worried about him.
No, the Republicans didn't have to say socialism. The Republicans didn't have to push it because he wasn't the nominee. They were keeping their powder dry.
Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't worried about him anyway. They would just say socialist and it's over. And he'd be like, yeah, you're right. I'm a socialist. And that was it. That's it. They didn't have to work hard against
him. Right, and that's the problem I have with the 2020 hindsight people. Bernie would have trounced Trump. There are some compelling arguments, things like the fact that he was talking the same sort of economic populism, but he was talking about it intelligently, whereas Trump was just saying, we're going to fuck up with Mexicans. And you know what? Yeah. We're going to fuck with them Mexicans and fuck with them Muslims. Plays a hell of a lot better among the mouth breathers and knuckle walkers. You know, the precious, twee, economically anxious white folks who can't spell economically anxious. I mean, did you happen to see, Angry? Did you happen to see this article over at Vox? It's actually a transcript of an interview from a previous story. But the headline reads, "This Trump voter didn't think Trump was serious about repealing her health insurance." The dateline on it is Corbin, Kentucky.
With people like that.
The dateline on it is Corbin, Kentucky, and we got members of the Horn Family Community Congregation down that way. And so this particular article, which is dated December 13th, said, "Last week we went to Corbin, Kentucky to try to answer the question. It's a small city in southeastern Kentucky in an area of the country that's seen huge declines in its uninsured rate, but also voted overwhelmingly for Trump." They link to the regular story, and then they go down to the actual transcript. And so they talk to this woman who says, "My husband ended up getting sick this year. He has non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. He lost all this weight and all this muscle tone. Some people don't recognize him that he's known for years until he speaks and they recognize his voice. But it's been great to have health insurance because I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to not have it with all the treatments and things that he's had to have done. When we didn't have health insurance, we didn't go and get blood work and all that stuff done to be checked to see, you know, how his liver was doing. He's taking medicines that could damage the liver for cholesterol and all that stuff. Because it costs so much to get blood work done, the doctor wanted it done every 3 months and he'd do it maybe once a year." And the interviewer says, "So just to be clear, he only got it once a year during the years that you didn't have insurance." She answers, "Yes, yeah. So like I said, we didn't go get it done, so now he's very sick." So another interviewer says, "So what do you think about Obamacare as a law? I know it's not especially popular." And the woman, Debbie Mills, says, "I have liked the fact that it gave us health insurance, you know, and I know some have not. Some have not been wanting to be forced to have it, but other ones I know it has helped. I know a lot of people that have gotten it that did not have health insurance before." And then, "Did it change your opinion of President Obama at all? I know nothing about your politics at all, but if you did like him, I'm not really a fan of his policies, but I like the fact that he gave me health insurance, and I have been worried about the fact that, you know, is it going to go away? Because, like I said, we're in a situation now where I can't afford to pay $1,200 a month, and I can't go without insurance because he has to have it in order, you know, transplant could be $1 million. Did you vote in the election this year?" "Yes." "And do you mind telling us who you supported?" "We voted for Trump."
Yeah, but I've said it to you before on this show, Brother Bob. They were okay when he talked about cutting health care and cutting welfare because they figured he's only going to cut the niggas and the spics off and them damn drunk Indians. You know, he's not going to do that to us. And that's exactly what somebody fucking said to me. I really didn't think he was going to do it. I thought he was going to defend the white people. She was a fucking bigot, but she flat out said it. I thought he was going to defend the white people. She really thought that because they're mad with him now. If you go to Right Wing Watch and a couple other watchdog sites like that, they're upset because he's not talking about killing the gays. They're upset because he's not forcing prayer in school. They thought that they're talking, he should already have these policies in place before he gets in the office, and he's not talking the way we want to talk. Matter of fact, Michael Savage.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Son of a bitch that has a fucking radio program in Frisco. You know, he's in one one of the gayest goddamn historical fucking cities in the country. And he's anti-gay, that motherfucker, telling people to die from AIDS and shit. That's son of a bitch.
Yeah, why doesn't that dumb bastard go and broadcast from maybe Jackson, Mississippi or somewhere?
Well, he might as well join Snowden in motherfucking Moscow, because that's the politics that Putin is motherfucking about. I want to get to Snowden, too. But anyway, motherfucking Michael Savage is bitching, talking about, well, Trump isn't doing what we wanted. He's just putting up all his friends who have contributed to his campaign, but he's not looking out for the real conservatives. So because he's not talking extremists and he's just looking out for himself, because they thought it was going to be different. They thought it was about them. They thought Trump was over there to work for them. He's got his kids sitting in every goddamn political fucking meeting that he's having.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where I can't remember his two sons' names. So I just refer to him as Uday and Kusei.
Yeah, just try to leave his youngest out of it, because I look at that poor kid, man. He's on stage standing there like, what the fuck? What the fuck? When they were saying shit about Obama, I saw like the shock on his face. You know, they were talking about doing, you know, and he's just like, what the, you know, he's just standing there like, what am I in the middle of? What the fuck am I in the middle of? He's the only one that looks like he has regret. When you see all of them fucking lined up, he's the only one that looks like he has any fucking concerns that this shit is going to go wrong. Everybody else is looking for fucking how they're going to line their goddamn pockets. And seeing the left isn't even talking about this. What's the left doing today? They're defending Russia. They're defending fucking WikiLeaks, which just fucking cut them at the balls. They cut the U.S. fucking left at the fucking testicles, man. And here's the fucking left want to argue with me about, well, Putin's not that bad. I'm like, what the fuck? Just last year you were complaining
no,
about
I, no, see, I've said it before, Angry. I can't suss this. I got nothing. I've been watching for a year or so, and I've seen these people who are supposed to be the progressive left, and it even happened on this program a couple of times in the last year or so. Well, you know, I don't know why you're so hard on Putin. He's not a bad man. I'm like, God damn, really?
Now there's audio out there. You can find it if we're sitting here, because it's quick. Of Alex Jones with his Y2K motherfucking madness, saying that there were tanks and troops on the fucking streets here in the United States, that the banks were failing, and that the Russians had launched against us. He called Putin a demon and talked about him, you know, being evil. And all of the fucking right-wingers, all the fucking, what they call alt-right now, all of those froggy sons of bitches and shit who are on 4 and 8chan, were everything that was evil in the mythical East was Putin. They did a total goddamn flip right after WikiLeaks, who they look upon. They look at Julian Assange like he's a fucking god. Look at left wing or right. Look at their fucking social media. Look at the things that they write, because most of them don't write any goddamn way. But look at what they repost. They look at Julian Assange as a fucking god. Nobody's even talking about Chelsea Manning anymore. Could these same people?
Well, there's
calling
there's
her
no,
faggot,
no,
all that
no
shit
of course.
This last year.
Now hold on. Of course, there's nobody's talking about Chelsea Manning anymore. Chelsea Manning can't make anybody any money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Chelsea Manning can't make Glenn Greenwald richer. Mm-hmm. Okay, Chelsea Manning. It can't help. No, isn't good for Julian Assange anymore.
Nope. Because
I honestly do kind of wonder about Ed Snowden.
What's there to wonder about? Who is giving him shelter? Who's paying his bills? Unless he hid some fucking money in Switzerland or some shit, or Belgium or Luxembourg. Who is giving him cover? Why is he getting cover? Because he damaged the motherfucking credibility safety of the United States. That's why fucking Putin's government is giving him cover. Because it really kills me when people are trying to argue with me today, this morning. Oh, I'm really tired of hearing this, that Putin personally directed this hacking thing. I'm like, that's funny. You blame Castro for every fucking protest, for every goddamn political prisoner, for every fucking buddy who ever fucking died in one of those goddamn rafts and shit coming over here. You know, you can come in from Haiti. If you come in from Haiti, they send you back. If you come in from Cuba, you can fucking stay if you reach the goddamn beach. That's a double standard nobody motherfucking talks about. They blame Fidel Castro, and he's dead now. And he was fucking correct about the majority of the fucking shit he talked about and apologized for what he knew that he was wrong about in his motherfucking lifetime. And I got to hear this fucking rhetoric. They blamed him for everything. They blamed fucking, you know, every leader they don't like for every fucking hangnail in their country. But with Putin, oh, no, it's not. You can't expect him to waste his time with something like this. I mean, he's a major world leader. You know, why would he bother with something like this? And I'm like, damn, man, you motherfuckers are like a gaslight. You go up and fucking down depending on whatever fucking emotionally turns you on at the moment. And since you got a hard-on for Julian Assange because you think that he's some kind of Robin fucking Hood and Snowden, you're not paying attention to what the fuck is happening. Your country just got fucking sold out right from under you. And we can all talk about, you know, what the fuck is wrong here. I'm watching my people get fucking, you know, have water beamed on them in these fucking, you know, weather conditions in Standing Rock. Don't talk to me about fucking colonialization and occupation and shit. We can have that goddamn conversation. But the fucking bottom line is using the fucking, you know, the people on the left using this bullshit fucking argument. Well, the United States has fucked with other elections around the world. So, you
yeah,
know,
I hate that one. Fair. You know why I particularly hate that one? Because it's not like I approve of that either.
Either.
but you know, among a certain segment of the alleged left, what left? Precious little pooty poot, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Because Hillary, goddamn Goldman Sachs, Hillary, son of a bitch, oh Jesus, Hillary. Okay. I'm just sick of it, and that's why I'm relentlessly and ruthlessly mocking it. You know, Hillary's over. Now, I have, to be fair, Angry, I have a sneaking suspicion that I've mentioned on this program, probably mentioned it talking to you, that somewhere Robbie Mook is whispering into Hillary's ear, babe, you got this. You can run again in 20, and they'll love you this time. Third time's the charm, honey. And that scares me to.
Don't go for it again.
That scares me to death. And the same simpletons will be there going, I'm with her. It's time for a woman president. And as Gerald pointed out a moment ago, Gerald has experienced something similar to what you were talking about with being approached by the Trumpanzee. He says, I always nod and smile mostly because I don't want my fucking house burned down or my car's tires slashed because, well, that's the kind of shit these Trumpanzees do. Mm-hmm. Then meanwhile, he says, and I know what he's talking about because I was here, Gerald's in West Virginia, so am I. Well, some of us argued against Hillary. Then we were promptly told to shut the fuck up, fuck off. We don't need your vote anyway.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that too. Women said that here in Portland. We don't need your vote, you motherfuckers. And it's like, okay, fine. You know, and when this shit goes ass up, you know, understand, then what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? You know, it's like now there's all this bullshit around me. Well, you know, make sure that you sign the petition to, you know, make sure that the Electoral College, you know, makes an argument so that he can't get in. And it's like, you know, I mean, I understand the sentiment behind this, but this is a dollar short and 2 years, 4 years motherfucking late. You didn't hold Obama to what the fuck he said he was going to do. You didn't stick by what the fuck the Democratic Party is supposed to fucking do legally or ethically within its own goddamn campaign shit. So, or anything else. War policy, domestic fucking policy. I mean, I watch here. The Sandy Hook anniversary came, what was it, yesterday, right?
The
day before?
Yeah, yesterday.
You know, I mean, like a lot of us, we all treat something. But I had just caught off somebody like several days before. I didn't even know the anniversary was coming up, to be honest with you. You know, because this person's telling me that I was a sucker for believing that Sandy Hook happened. I'm like, you're a fucking nutcase. So, you know, here this shit comes. And, you know, Mr. Obama, okay, I understand he's the president. He's supposed to be the president for everybody. And he's like, you know, when I think about what happened in Sandy Hook, I get mad. And I'm thinking, damn, did he get mad over Walter Scott? Did he get mad over Dylann Roof, who was convicted today of all these motherfucking...
Yeah, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. In South Carolina, they actually convicted Dylann Roof of hate crimes.
But you knew why that was going to happen. They're sacrificing that young white boy because there was no way they could fucking excuse what he did. And they got to have somebody pay. And he's not someone who can make a cognizant fucking...
If only he'd been a cop...
If he had been older, he still might have walked away. But in his motherfucking case, you know, they're going to try to basically explain now, you know, or try to get us to want to discuss on how we could have this kind of thing happen and what black folks need to do to prevent it from happening again. You know, because that's what all this shit has been. And this is what I'm saying about Mr. Obama, because he can get angry about Sandy Hook and he can get angry about the fucking conspiracy theorists and shit, and the fact that somebody tried to goddamn kill one of the parents of a child that was lost over there, one of these fucking nutcases. And then you had the Pizzagate craziness that just happened. I mean, they don't even have a goddamn basement. So, you know, you got all this fucking going on, and he's angry, but he's not angry when black people are being fucked up like this. You know, that shit that happened with Dylann Roof, like I've told you, that's the AMC church. That's my family's goddamn fucking church. That's the Gullah fucking, you know, fucking traditional church. When he did that, and I'm not saying this to be a fucking snot. I'm just saying it because it's fucking truth. We're the blackest goddamn people in this country. We retain Africa. We fucking have always held that goddamn identity. So when you attack the AME fucking church, you attack all black people in this motherfucking country. And Mr. Obama, whose wife is Gullah Geechee, she's of my people, could not say that made him fucking mad, and could not say that we're going to fucking take every fucking federal resource that is necessary to deal with this goddamn problem. Because since I've been in office, the fucking white power groups have risen 400%, and we're going to fucking put a stop to this. We got a black woman in the Justice Department, and we're going to fucking get down with this. Nothing happened. Nothing fucking happened. Not a goddamn thing happened. So, you know, then...
No, I mean, to be this is not the Defend Obama Network, but to be fair, there's only so much you can do with an executive order. But, maybe this is, when history looks back, maybe they'll look at Obama and say, you know, goddamn, if the man had just gone out and really, really blistered the Republicans' asses... If he'd gone into the belly of the beast and delivered some speeches in Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina or whatever, besides going to a funeral. If he hadn't played golf with John Boehner and kept sticking his arm across the aisle with an olive branch in it and pulling back a bloody stump. If he would have gone to war with the sons of bitches, maybe it would have been different. I don't know if it would have been. But in the final analysis, Angry, you got to have a Congress. And that's what scares the living shit out of me going forward, okay? We don't have a Congress. In the Nixon era, the evidence piled up to the point where it was inescapable. And even the Republicans had to come over, some Republicans had to come over and say, yeah, this is a problem. Who was it? Howard Baker? Was it Howard Baker that finally went to Nixon and said, look, it's going to happen. You got to go. Well, this is not that Congress.
Yeah, but how much damage did he do beforehand?
Sure.
Yeah, but hold on for a second, because remember, I'm coming from the black end of the tracks, right? You're talking about Nixon, and then you're saying, well, you know, Obama can only do so much with an executive order. Let's go back in history. Who created SWAT? Special Weapons and Tactics Teams that they sent against the black fucking liberation movement. It was Nixon. He signed an executive order to turn our motherfucking world upside down.
And in New York,
signed an executive order against guns in L.A. Right.
And in New York, Nelson Rockefeller invented the war on drugs, which was just basically war on black folks.
On black folks. So what I'm saying is, if Obama was serious, because he does sign this special whatever the fuck, $600 million, I believe it is going to go to the opiate, you know, heroin fucking problem that white people got in this goddamn country. Because you got people like Pence who feel that when they cut Planned Parenthood and shit, because all they can see is abortion, and don't see that they deal with all kinds of fucking health issues. People didn't go in for their goddamn, you know, any kind of testing. They're not going in for condoms or safe sex education. And they're still shooting dope. Matter of fact, in most of the poor, what they call the goddamn Bible Belt, they're shooting dope like a motherfucker and having all kinds of unwed kids. And guess what? They're all white. You know? So Mr. Obama can get up off his ass to fucking deal with a heroin fucking problem that only really became a problem in the fucking past 6 years. But he can't get up and do a goddamn thing for black people being fucking murdered on the street or murdered in fucking prison. He can't do any goddamn thing.
Well, and
he can't
I
do any fucking thing.
Well, no, and if he had gone to war with Congress, as Arthur points out in the chat room, since he would have been an angry black man. We pointed that out before, and he's not.
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but what I'm trying to say is he didn't even have to go after the Republicans, quote-unquote, by name. Go after the racism. If they end up being Republicans, then so fucking be it. But that would have cleared the motherfucking air. You know that there's an organized fucking group handing out flyers talking about we're going to start going after black people and Mexicans when, you know, when we get a chance. Why do you wait? You know, they're worried about motherfucking Islamic terrorists and shit all over the fucking place. Black and Latino gangs all over the fucking place. They stop people on the fucking street because they think they're in a fucking gang. But when you're a white guy and you run into a fucking church or a movie theater like John Hauser, they can't call it terrorism.
No, of course not.
They can't call it terrorism. Because, yeah, but who's in charge? We got a black guy that couldn't do any fucking thing. So for 8 years, nothing fucking happened. And then, like I said, we're talking about the craziness now. People totally forgetting that Bush and Cheney were in office and are literally blaming Obama for fucking the invasions and all of the craziness that's gone on, including the subprime fucking loan crisis. And these are people who can get up every goddamn day, go to work, pay their car note, feed their fucking children, take a bath regularly, or they can function otherwise, but they believe in this fucking craziness. And they're giving, you know, the fucking system on both ends a fucking pass. The real question I think we should be asking is, you know, yes, there's fake news out here. And yes, we got to worry about the Congress and all that type of shit. But as a black person, the Congress isn't going to do anything for me any goddamn way. So it really doesn't fucking matter. As a black person, they don't give a shit. And as an Indian, they don't fucking give a shit. So my question for myself is, do I worry about me or do I worry about what everybody fuck else? And why? And white people should be asking themselves, why do black people in America who have been here, some of them longer than we have to fucking make that kind of a goddamn decision and worry about the fucking current black president leaving because the white guy fucking retreats shit from neo-Nazis and has
and let's be clear about something.
Motherfucking Russia.
It may be another 237 years or something before there's another black president. Let's be clear about that.
Well, we didn't have a black president anyway. And I'm not trying to be funny about that. I'm an Uncle Tom, so is he. He knows what the fuck I'm talking about. You know, he knows what the fuck I'm talking about. And that's why he got in. You know what I'm saying? No real black fucking person could get into that goddamn job because they would have done something about not just, you know, racism in this country. They'd have done something about poverty. They would have fixed the goddamn bridges. You know, if I was the Fuhrer, I would fucking force the business community to fix the goddamn infrastructure of the United States. You're not paying taxes any goddamn way. We build these motherfucking bridges. Executive motherfucking order. Oh, you can't do that because that's private property. Yeah, well, see, now I'm...
See, I remember going all the way back to early 2009 when there was actually a plan in place. He put forward a plan, and there's been so many plans that have been so rejected because they were Negro socialism, by the Congress. But I remember a plan to actually get serious about passenger rail across the United States. You remember that, Angry? I remember when Barack Obama put that forward. I remember when he offered the state of Wisconsin free money for rail infrastructure improvement, and Scott Walker turned it down, and a Spanish firm, which had located in Wisconsin, expressly for the purpose of building rail cars, passenger rail cars, said, well, shit, if you're not going to do that, then there's no reason for us to be here, and they broke camp.
Uh-huh. But what else?
And then Scott Walker had the nerve to turn around and go, yeah, but can I keep the money anyway?
Anyway.
Yeah, it's not to say that there wasn't any big thinking. If that had gone through, that would have been a tremendous infrastructure boost. I mean, I remember back in the early aughts, there was a consortium of labor and big thinkers and whatever, and they came up with something called, I think they actually called it the Apollo program. And they were talking about 4 million good-paying new jobs building a rail infrastructure across the United States, a brand new one. And it couldn't get any traction because, you know, well, railroad trains. Yeah, most of America has never been outside the borders of America. So no, most of America has never sat on one of these amazing trains in Asia or Europe and gotten from point A to point B without wondering if they were going to plunge 40,000 feet to their fucking death.
So you know what I was getting ready to say then. They were worried about people of color fucking popping up in Wisconsin and all these other goddamn places where they don't usually have ink spots.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the classic example is the Atlanta area where, what is it? Is it DeKalb County? MARTA, the MARTA trains have to stop, or at least they used to. It's been a long time since I lived there. Because the white folks didn't want those trains coming in, and they referred to MARTA, which stands for Metropolitan Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority. No. They said it stood for Moving Africans Rapidly Through Atlanta. I remember it because I used to ride the MARTA trains to work. And they didn't want the help actually being able to ride a train into DeKalb County.
Yeah, they.
It's what the goddamn bus is for.
They don't, man. They don't. You know, I'm telling you, they don't. They don't. Like I said, you know, I'm a Tom motherfucker, and I can walk through a lot of white neighborhoods and not, you know, draw too much fucking attention, right? And I'm telling you, man, they see, you know, they can halfway accept me sometimes on the bus. But they'll see a Latino, or they'll hear like a foreign language, even if they're white. And you get to see the faces, the frowns, you know, like, oh, fuck, you know, I got to hear this shit, this goddamn foreigner. And that was 10 years ago.
But ain't going like to get any better.
A million fucking chances. We had a million chances under Mr. Obama to discuss this. Under the first Justice Department head to discuss this. Under the second Justice Department head to discuss this. It was never done.
And by the way, speaking of which, you know, we've got Jeff Sessions for AG, right?
Oh, my God.
But you know who hasn't been named yet? Hmm. Because this requires Senate confirmation, too. He has yet to name his nominee or designee for head of the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. Maybe he'll just let it sit empty.
Nah, he can't do that. But what they're doing now is trying to find. They're doing a search. You know, they're doing a search. They're going to find somebody that has the mentality of Sheriff Clark over there in Wisconsin, and looks like Ben Carson, and has the personality of Henry Louis Gates to take that over. Because that way, when they start doing the real pogroms, then they can say, "Hey, it was a black guy." That did this. Wasn't us. But see, they probably had having a hard time finding, you know, a house Negro to do that. Because, you know, you're asking for somebody to basically sell out. Because everybody else...
I bet you there's a black lawyer or two working for Matt Staver over at Liberty Counsel.
Maybe. Well, you know, what, Thomas Sowell, the... I pull him, Shelby Steele, they might try to pull him. I mean, Clarence Thomas already has a job. You know, I don't know.
And out of all this,
I mean, there's any number.
And there's one thing we're going to have to wait till after the inauguration for, because he's not going to let the Democrats have any warning. You know what's going to be absolutely just plain old fashioned drive you right up the wall crazy. I mean, I predict. I mean, you'll call in that night after it's been announced, after January 20th, and the lines will be hot and they'll be ringing all goddamn night. When he names Ted Cruz as his nominee to the Supreme Court of the United States.
I didn't know Ted Cruz had a law degree. But then again, no
fuck
one
fuck yes, he does. Oh, my God. He's the most brilliant lawyer ever produced by Harvard School of Law.
I heard he ran around with a towel trying to intimidate the females in his dorm when he went to law school. That's what his roommate said.
Well, that's part of his brilliance.
His roommate said that he didn't.
It's part of his brilliance. Like, he's not politically correct. He understands that the originalism in the Constitution means not being politically correct. I mean, it's not like women had the vote when the Constitution was written, so there you go.
Wasn't he one of the guys that was talking about taking that away from women? Repeal or whatever the amendment was for that? There was a call for that.
No, that was Ann Coulter.
Well, that was Ann Coulter? Ann Coulter.
Yeah, no shit.
Dinesh D'Souza's ex-girlfriend. Yeah. One of his ex-girlfriends. One of them.
By the way, I'm being reminded. Jay Cruzen reminds me not just Scott Walker in Wisconsin, as Jen says, all the Scots. Jay Cruzen says, "Hey, remember my wonderful governor Rick Scott rejected $2.4 billion for rail here in Florida."
Yeah, because he wanted to connect politically, you know, connected investors into the private prison industry, because that's really where it's at. That's what he said.
Well, no, where it really is, making it goes back to that treasonous, traitorous, anti-American meeting that was attended by, among others, then South Carolina Senator Jim DeMented and Mitch McConnell and a few others, where they said, "We don't care what he wants, we're gonna stop him.
Stop it." Yeah.
Nobody collaborate. Nobody cooperate. Don't let him have any signature victories on his watch. Because, you know, then he might get reelected. It was also at that meeting where they said, "The single most important thing is making sure that Barack Obama is a one-term president." And then he shoved that shit down their throat and made them like it. And so they're hot and they're angry now. And they're going to get some work done. And I go, and that's what takes me back to my original thesis in our conversation, Angry. There's a lot of stuff coming at us. By the time he's inaugurated, Trump will be a walking collection of impeachable offenses.
Oh yeah.
And we do not have a Congress. We do not have a Congress willing to impeach him.
Yeah, but look, as the late Gore Vidal said, you know, when he was in, because he lived in Europe most of the time, he says when he would go to affairs, because he knew politicians and he came from a political family, he had that kind of clout. And he says, "Yeah, I go and, you know, you're having the cocktails," and they'd ask me, they would tap him on the shoulder and say, "Gore, you know, what the fuck is going on in your country? How do you have politicians that knowingly sell themselves out to business concerns and think that their public is so stupid that they don't realize this?" And he's like, "Well, we have a very undereducated population, because an educated population wouldn't put up with this. An educated population would realize a fake news story. They would actually, oh, that doesn't seem like, let me see if anybody else is reporting that." No. You know, no. You know, I mean, we are dealing with people that no matter what the fuck you tell them, belief means more than fact. So whether, you know, socialist politics, you know, conservative politics, whatever the fuck, the danger comes in to when you think you know what the fuck all. Or, as I argued with my in-laws one night, it's not that you think that you know that you're right. You want to be right. So you continuously look for information that will fucking coddle that idea. And you reject anything that fucking questions what you believe. But you can't prove what the fuck it is that you stand for. And all of your yelling and all of your fucking shouting and all of it just proves that you fucking are afraid to fucking really look at it, at what it is that you're looking at. And, you know, people get angry with me. Well, you think religion is a mental illness. No, I understand what religion is. You know, it's a goddamn, you know.
Uh-oh. Angry? I think you unplugged yourself. Angry, I don't know if you can hear me, but I just heard some cord rattling. I think you unplugged yourself.
Hello?
Yeah, you're very faint, Angry.
Hello.
Yeah, better.
Does that make sense?
Still pretty low.
Sorry about that.
I'll boost you a little bit here. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. But anyway, you know, try to cut that short. You know, I understand what religion is. It's a system, like racism. It's a system. But it starts from the belief in something that can't be fucking proven. You know, and it comes up with a social thing. Either you believe in this and you believe in the authority structure that's been, you know, set up around this, or we're going to fucking stomp the fuck out of you. So, you know, we're not being honest about a lot of goddamn things. You know, we don't look at the emotional, the psychological, the fucking historical fucking, you know, shit behind this. How did we get to this fucking point? Well, we got to this point because, like I've said before, when Uncle So-and-so says something racist, we just like, well, that's Uncle So-and-so and he's got a right to be a bigot because he's 86. Because we don't fucking want to say to somebody, oh, you can't offend the Republicans by calling them bigots. Well, they're voting for the fucking Klan. Well, we know that, but you're going to offend them and you can't have a conversation if you call them bigots, even though we know that they're racist. Well, how the fuck are we going to progress then if I can't call a spade a fucking spade? You know, and this bullshit that we're supposed to sit and take, you know, a certain amount of abuse is just that. It's bullshit. You know, that the left is supposed to prove every goddamn thing. You know, because, I mean, think about it, Brother Bob. When you get into arguments with these motherfuckers, do you ever notice that they look down and they physically look down at you, first off? You know, second, they just automatically talk to you as if everything that you're saying is complete bullshit and everything that they're saying is correct. Even if you can factually prove to them otherwise, they will still fucking argue with you. So if you're dealing with somebody like that, how can you fucking get across to them? I mean, kissing ass doesn't work, and you don't want to use violence. So then, what is there? What's left?
What is left?
Well, what happened in the 70s and the early 80s? You and I are old enough to remember this. A lot of people simply dropped out, right? I'm not talking about like the hippie dropout. I'm talking about they just, you know,
they just
I don't
gave
vote
up.
Anymore.
No.
They just gave up. I don't read the papers no more. I'm just going to write my poetry and shit. Because I did that. I ran away with this girl and I decided I was just going to write and, you know, fuck the world, man. I'm not going to be bothered with this shit. We're just going to take care of ourselves. We're going to get enough money, get a house, you know, go out in the woods some fucking place and just, you know, write poetry and drink wine. And of course, that lasted for about, you know, 3 years. And I realized I can't fucking live like that. We both came to that conclusion.
And we
came out of it, you know. You can't do it. Because, you know, every time we went to town, it was, you know, we would see something that we'd be like, wait a minute, you know, what the fuck is going on? You know, we look at a newspaper or something, it's like, what the fuck happened here? And it's like, what the hell? And realize we can't do this. And at that time, the nuclear thing was going on, right? And a lot of us were really fucking worried. And remember how Germany was acting at that time? Because they, you know, they felt that they were going to get hit first and everything.
Yeah. I mean, you're roughly talking about the same time frame as Nena releasing 99 Luftballons.
And Nena is a fucking racist who is now supportive of the fucking far right in Germany.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, no.
No, her, Brigitte Bardot, they all belong to that shit. Yeah. Yeah, Nena, look it up. She's been criticized for being a bigot. Because people are like, you're the same Nena from 99 Luftballons. It's like, yeah.
Oh, God, I thought she was so cute. You know? Except, I mean, back then, I thought she was so cute, except for the hairy armpits. I mean, it, you know. Sorry, bias.
I've been to Europe, so you know.
I know. I'm going to hell for that one. Right. I get it.
But in any case, You know, I mean,
no, I remember that. And you know what? There was a different kind of dropout, too. Because I watched when my father got screwed out of his job at the furnace. He developed he was diagnosed with angina pectoris. And as quick as Reynolds Metals Company found out, they started trying to shove him out of his job. And they eventually succeeded. And then they tried to take his pension away from him that he'd been paying into for years. And that roused his ire, and he fought for it, and he got it, but he had to pay a lawyer dearly for it, and he had to fight for his Social Security disability. He always loved to tell that story, though. He went in for his disability hearing with his lawyer, and his lawyer was all set to fight. And the administrative law judge looks up at him and says here you were an aircraft carrier veteran. He says, yeah. He says, I flew off one as a Marine. And Dad said, I just decided to keep my opinion of the Marine Corps to myself. You know, old salt that he was. And he said, what'd you do? And Dad told him about being down in the boiler in B Division. And he said, that's some shitty-ass snipe work. He said, you didn't live down there. And he goes, you're not just trying to get disability for the hell of it, are you? Dad goes, no, I'm pretty much fucked over. Dad didn't say fucked. And he goes, well, looks like you are. I'm going to give it to you. Case closed. Good luck. Nice meeting you. Mm-hmm. The lawyer never had to open his mouth. But he managed to get what he had. And there was a kind of a dropping out there, too. I mean, you know, Dad didn't sit down and write poetry or anything or learn to play the kazoo. But this is where I understand the real version of economic anxiety, not the kind that makes you draw swastikas in snow in Philadelphia, but the real kind of economic anxiety that comes with being rendered meaningless inside your own country. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and that's what's happening, and I've talked to you about this because, you know, I've been criticized by black people for giving a fuck about what these poor white motherfuckers think. I said, look, man, you got to understand something. If you've asked, because I've been through Appalachia when I was younger. I went through it, literally. And I can't say that I was treated bad. But, you know, a lot of those folks flat out told me, they said, you know, we've never talked to a black person before. We don't have any down here, you know. And you know, their problems were pretty much the same as I saw as poor people up where, you know, up in Philly. And I told people, I said, you know, we really got to fucking, you know, look at this shit objectively. Well, you're a communist. I'm not a communist, but it makes sense to read Marxism because it does say, look at shit fucking objective. Look at the class aspects. Because
I remember
the Black Panther Party sent representatives to Appalachia. Yeah.
I remember having a conversation with our buddy Dr. John a long while back about reading Marx. You've pretty much got to go to college, and you can't just go to any. I mean, you know, they don't. You're not reading. Nobody wants you to read Marx at Texas A&M. Or oddly enough, I knew a professor at the University of Alabama who made sure that people who came through his class, by God, read Marx. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the Marx has been suppressed, and I'm not saying for or against Marx. Like you just said, Marx is worth reading because he gets some stuff right. And what people understand of communism, they understand of communism primarily through the lens of Mao and Stalin and, you know, Lenin.
Well, yeah, well,
but that's not necessarily
what's been written here.
That's
that.
Not the academic stuff that Marx is. Marx was an academic. Marx was a goddamn philosopher. Yeah. Okay, I mean, there's a progression that goes, you know, you read Hegel and then you read Marx.
Marx, yeah.
and that's just not tolerated in the United States because I think the people who don't want Marx read are the people who understand that there's a lot in Marx that is going to speak to a lot of working class people.
Well, yeah, of course.
But the problem becomes problem becomes one of translating it into common English. I'm sorry.
Well, see, this is where you're
going to lose people at dictatorship of the proletariat. Fuck that. You're going to lose people at proletariat. The who?
Yeah, but this is what I was talking about with the Black Panther Party, because they went to Appalachia. The Patriot Party, which was founded, I believe, in 1968, early 1969, lasted until 1971 because they were smashed by local law enforcement. Bobby Seale went down to Appalachia. He went to West Virginia and said, you know, proletarian, this, that, and the other. Well, these are what these words mean, but the bottom line is you have been fucked over as Scots-Irish for how goddamn long, for how many generations. Nobody in the room could deny it, right? So he's like, this is what I understand of the history. And they've, you know, pretty much have forced you into the mines and broke down a lot of shit. They founded a chapter, which was basically the white version of the fucking Black Panthers, the Patriot Party. I asked people who are listening to this to go look it up. They understood this from a Marxist viewpoint without being communist, because it was explained to them, as Brother Bob was saying, in terms that they could understand. So it was not that this can't be done. It's just that we have to be willing to talk to each other and stop waiting for some fucking politician, well, including that, Bernie Sanders, to do the work.
And let's consider another part of it, too. There's a history here. And it goes back to like the battle at Blair Mountain and the March on Logan and Big Bill Blizzard versus John L. Lewis. John L. Lewis was a capitalist, pure and simple through and through. Up until his ascendancy in the United Mine Workers, there had and certainly with the, you know, with the Wobblies and the Knights of Labor, there had been a strong Marxist thread. And John L. Lewis took over and was pure capitalist. And all of a sudden, to this day, you know, you listen to the right-wingers, and well, the goddamn unions are just a bunch of socialist commies, my friend. Hand me another OxyContin. But nothing could be further than the truth. You can't be a member of a union local. You cannot be an officer of a union local without signing an oath that says, I am not now, nor have I ever been, a member of the Communist Party of the United States or any party or any such other party. And so, Marxism was Marxism is a labor thing. And it was adopted by labor groups in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and then it was purged from those groups. And consequently, it becomes much more difficult to explain to the rank and file how it is they're getting fucked. I mean, look, the coal industry is just one long history of people getting fucked by capitalism. I mean, every dying little coal town in West Virginia should just be renamed capitalism. Because that's what it is. When you can't, when they tell you you can't drink the water because the water's turned black, well, what's in the water? Capitalism. Mm-hmm.
But you can't blame capitalism for that.
Fuck, I can't.
You can't blame capitalism for that. No, but see, but it's the same argument we have with racism. You can't blame capitalism. It's just that one particular fucked up bad apple. Remember when the subprime loan shit was going on? Oh, it's just a bad apple. We got some bad apples. That's all Bush kept saying. We got some bad apples. Racism's the same thing. Racism denotes a system. But when shit happens, well, that particular individual was racist, not the system. See? So that's why capitalism can still have pull. That's why racism can still have pull, because we've been psychologically bullied into saying that it's just an individual that is fucked up, not the system. The system itself is perfect. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. My father and I used to argue about this. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. I'm like, you've seen the world, Dad. How the hell can you think that this is it? Oh, this is the best country in the world. There's nothing else. Yeah, as a black man, nobody else will ever give you a chance. And I'm like, but you said that you were treated better in Europe than you were here. Well, in a way I was, but, I was born here. So there's a psychological and emotional tie to accepting what is going on, because we don't believe outside of this particular fucking universe in which we can see that there is anything else. Marxism sounds just so evil because most motherfuckers do not know what it is. But they'll accept that goddamn Obama care, though. They'll accept their fucking insurance at work. They'll demand, you know, fucking, you know, workman's insurance if they get injured, though. But they hate Marxism.
Oh, exactly. And of course, the very first workers' compensation program was established under Bismarck in Germany as a direct result of
to keep from riots,
as a direct result of the pressures being put on him by the rising by the rising tide of Marxism. You know, Bismarck was not a stupid man. The entire idea of a social safety net gets invented largely by Bismarck as a means of responding to the final, or not final, but the manifestation of an unwillingness to tolerate just serial abuse of the working class.
And they had to blame somebody, so blame that Jew. You know, he wasn't a real German. He was a Jew. Blame him. He gave all these motherfuckers the idea that they should get paid for their fucking labor, that they deserve respect at, in the workplace. You know, that fucking Jew did that. It's part of the Jewish conspiracy to take money out of the hands of capitalists. That's how that shit got started, and that's how that shit continues to fucking perpetuate. And you got 21-year-olds who think they know every goddamn thing because they read the fucking protocols of the Elders of Zion, and we don't have an educational system, and we don't have journalists with enough fucking balls in the mainstream to come out and discuss this kind of shit like that. Because until they start doing that, nothing really is going to change. We can all fucking argue, but I'm not important to them. I'm just a hack fucking radio host. You have your radio program. No matter what the fuck we say, there are some people who are going to listen, but the majority are fucking not. If people think that Julian Assange is a goddamn god, that he can't make any fucking mistakes, and they're caught up in the fucking star power of this outlaw motherfucker, Snowden, outlaw, right? All of these whistleblowers who have actually kind of, in some ways, done damage to the fucking system in some ways. Of course, a lot of this, people like you and I, we already knew this. We already knew that every goddamn phone call is being fucking recorded. Every website you look at is being logged. I mean, none of this is new. Operation Lamplighter took place in the late fucking 50s. They were roaming, recording every goddamn phone call in
the United States. What do people think about the internet? Angry that it runs on unicorn sparkle farts. I mean, it was invented by the Defense Department. I mean, not to get all cranky and everything,
yes,
but goddamn.
Yeah, but people forget, you know. And a lot of people who just don't give a fuck, they just want to know if they can open the fucking thing and push the power button on and that it works. They don't give a fuck about their privacy. They don't give a damn that their credit cards and shit are being fucking recorded. They don't care until something goes wrong. And then they demand that somebody do something about it. Remember the end of 3 Days of the Condor?
Oh, God, it's been a million years.
But you know what I'm talking about. Robert Redford confronts Cliff Robertson in the street.
Yeah, right, right.
And he's like, you know, what the hell's been going on? I found out about what your thing. You were going to, you know, basically change the Mid-East oil situation and all that. And he goes, I'm not going to let you do it. And he goes, yeah, well, you can go ahead. Because he said he gave it to the Times. He said, how do you know they'll print it? He's like, they'll print it. He goes, how do you know? He goes, man, look, the bottom fucking line is you think the public is going to give a fuck if some Arabs and shit got killed or some other people got assassinated because we're fucking stealing this goddamn oil from them? He says, when the fucking winter comes, all the fuck they want to know is, can I have it? And that's our job, is to make sure that they fucking get it. They don't give a fuck, and they won't ask, and they won't fucking feel bad when they do find out because they got it. And that's a fucking mentality that we're not willing to address, because like racism, you have to say to yourself, well, how did you let it get this motherfucking far? When you had 8 years of Bush, how did you let it get this motherfucking far? Africa did not have terrorism like this. Obama comes in, now look, right? AFRICOM was set up first, then all this shit popped up. What happened? Oh, well, we don't know what's going on, and they're all corrupt. Okay, you keep telling me all this shit, and then you wait till the fucking it's time to vote, and then you want to do something.
You know you what? You know, I don't think you mean to, but Angry, you're pointing at something that I know Michael and Madison and I have gone on and on about. This country is going to wind up being done in by a Republican temper tantrum in the late 1940s and early 1950s. The limitation on terms that can be served by the President of the United States is going to be the end of us. Had it not been there, Barack Obama is a young, hale, hearty, healthy, reasonably well-liked man who would not have blinked an eyelash, I don't think, at running a third campaign if he had been legally allowed so to do. And I would have, I would have supported him.
Well, we have. Well, Roosevelt did it.
Yeah, but it's because of Roosevelt that they passed the amendment that limits a president to two terms. And that was done by Republicans who didn't ever want to run the risk of being driven all the way into the wilderness again. So because a president can't run for a third term, we wind up with a tired, unappealing retread as the Democratic nominee, and we get, good Christ almighty, Donald Trump as, you know, and here we are. Because some pissed off Republicans said in the middle of the 20th century that they didn't want to run the risk of ever having a three-term Democrat be president again. And I'm going to use this moment to stick to my guns and be consistent. If the Republican Congress wants to move to repeal that amendment so that Donald Trump can serve three terms as president or four, I will support that effort. I don't think he could. I'll take that dice roll.
Well, I'm not willing to go there because remember when Rocky Vaccarella took his FEMA-supplied motorhome up from Katrina and drove up to interrupt Bush in the middle of his coffee break, where they came down for this unprecedented, unscripted, you know, at-the-moment scene where I wanted to drive up and shake your hand and say thank you, President Bush, and if I could, I would like to vote you in for a third term. You know, I would like to vote for you multiple times if I could. And Bush pulled his hand away and said, well, we don't have to, you know, ha-ha, and then walked away. See, I remember that. When Bush was in, they were talking about that. Talker made, as, what was it, Malloy was calling him, Talker made, or Talkamada Gonzalez, Alberto Gonzalez was literally talking about, well, we're in the middle of wartime. We don't have a defined enemy, but this is wartime. We don't really think Bush should leave office.
Well,
nobody remembers this.
Well, I mean, just ask yourself, Angry. Would Barack Obama running for a third term as president, would Barack Obama have run as dodgy and talentless and clueless and flat-footed and foot in the bucket a campaign as Hillary did? Would the people have stayed home?
Maybe. Because you got to remember, see, with the Voting Rights Act not being in, a lot of people were forced to stay home. With a lot of us getting, you know, fucking arrested for nothing and getting slapped with felonies that we didn't goddamn do and can't vote in our fucking state, a lot of those people couldn't have fucking voted anyway.
Possibly.
See, we really don't know what happened because the voting wasn't fair to fucking begin with. And it wasn't the Democrats that were trying to limit people. Well, actually, it did try to limit people doing primaries. That happened. That happened. You know, we know about that. But see, even then, and if you look at what the DNC did in terms of making sure that Hillary got to the top and what the Republicans are doing to keep minorities from voting, because they were against Trump. They were against Trump pretty much up until the end, up until they figured, oh, fuck, we might actually win this.
Well,
because
see,
whiteness is going to fucking come through for us.
I knew the Republicans wanted Hillary from the masturbating they've been doing into microphones for 25 years. They knew they could beat her. They knew that
the motherfucker from News Corp gave her $10 million. Remember?
Yeah, sure. Because you want
the first time she
you want her as the nominee. Again, I'm not convinced Bernie would have won in November. They had as Kurt Eichenwald reported, the opposition research on Bernie, the notebook was 2 feet thick. Okay? They were ready to sleaze him just as hard. And like you said, you know, WikiLeaks didn't give a goddamn about Bernie. They just wanted to make sure that they hurt Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, no, they knew they were waiting for her. I mean, Jesus Christ, if somebody as simple as me can go back to the early aughts and say, I've been predicting for years that she would get her ass handed to her if she ever actually got to run. If I know that, the millionaire goddamn political consultant class in the Republican side damn sure knew it.
Look,
you know, I mean,
I lost respect for her when she lied about that Bosnia fucking trip.
Jesus, how many different places can you lose respect?
You know, that was really what cut it for me in terms of political stuff. I lost respect for her because of the goddamn super predator shit. But I'm saying in terms of politics, where I have to be objective, if you fucking do a blatant lie like that, when you have Sinbad and Sheryl Crow who then turn around and say, nope, that never happened, and then you continue to say that people are picking on you because you did that, that could have caused a fucking international incident. You know, it's like, what the hell is wrong with you? But then again, we got Trump. But her and Trump are friends. So they're not that fucking far from each other. You know, I mean, a lot of people said, if I couldn't vote for Bernie, I'm going to vote for Trump. Who are now telling me, oh, well, you know, I made a mistake. Well, yeah, motherfucker. Yeah, you made a mistake. Because like you said with WikiLeaks, they're so anti-Hillary.
Well, Julian Assange, I mean, how plain does it have to be, Angry? And we're running out of time. But how, you know, when Julian Assange says, listen, I'm a right winger. I'm a more of a, if I was an American, I'd be more of like a right-wing libertarian. I'd vote Republican. How many times does he have to say that before the precious little lefties will look up and go, oh, he's a turd?
Look, man, they could find a clause in the Bible where Jesus says, you know, all of this is a joke. You know that, right? They wouldn't believe it.
Oh, hell no. I mean, I had that clip last night. Trump's the fucking Messiah. Or maybe, well, no, I think they finally decided he's John the Baptist. No shit.
Like that.
No shit. No, really. I mean, it's out there. And it's enough to make you eat dirt and run rabbits. And we got to get out of here, Angry. It's good talking to you. It's been a fun conversation, my friend.
All right, my man. All right, so as usual, people, you know what I'm going to say. If you got any money at all, if you can spare it, if you got a credit card that actually works, do what you can to keep this man on the air, because there's not too much radio like this left, and with Trump being in, most likely this might be the last year you even get programming like this. So do what you can.
Yeah, by the way, see you, Angry. And by the way, the FCC had stepped down, so the FCC will now be run by Republicans in this incoming administration, a Republican majority on the FCC. Bye-bye, net neutrality. It was nice while it lasted, wasn't it? Okay, so update. Fundraising. Here's how it went. Alma jumped in and knocked out the loose change again. And that took us down to $153 to go. Then, with a note that says, take that, Jay Cruzen, Ron jumped in and took us down to, because Ron likes the loose change and everybody enjoys hearing me cipher, took us down to $151.81. But Jay Cruzen came back and said, ha! Loose change, and knocked that down again, and we are at $140 to go for fundraising to get out of the hole. If things stay the same, we will be at $340 for tomorrow, Friday, on the front porch. I hope we aren't. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, one and all. Thank you for spending your precious, finite time engaged in this little conversation. Thank you to all of you who helped keep all of this going. It is independent, it is real, and it is and the content of it is dictated by precisely no one. It is a free conversation, and those are damned scarce anymore. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.